to you. You were born with power.
Sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. Oh, yeah, you need to get to me. Much business is being tended to. Much business is being tended to while you're sleeping. Much business has been conducted while you may not have been awake. You see, yesterday up in City Hall, Francis Slay began his scurrying. Why is he scurrying? Oh, to do the things in darkness before you have a chance to examine them in the light. Ballpark Village funding. Check it out. The bill was just introduced in the last week of January. Today, Francis Slay wants the HUD committee to vote yes on it at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, he wants ENA to vote yes on it. And then at, no, 9 o'clock he wants HUD to vote on it, 10 o'clock he wants ENA to vote on it, and then at 11 o'clock today he wants to call an emergency meeting of the Board of Aldermen to vote yes on this. Now, I had an opportunity in the wee hours of last night to take a look at this bill that gets real close to 200 pages worth of documents. Does this sound like the Patriot Act, y'all? You can take the boy out of the Republican, but you can't take the Republican out of the boy. Oh, yeah, that's what was happening while you were sleeping. Y'all need to be on this. Y'all need to be on this. My name is Liz Brown. Y'all stay with me. I ain't done here.
1990, Tim Burton created a character that touched the hearts of millions. Today, through the magic of Matthew Bourne, this character is back to make your heart soar. Edward Scissorhands, the classic film about the ultimate outsider, is now the world's most talked about theatrical dance sensation. The London Times gives it 4 stars, its highest honor. The Los Angeles Times calls it charming, inventive, and endearing. And the New York Times raves, just bring your eyes and ears and marvel at the inventions of Mr. Bourne's theatrical imagination. Edward Scissorhands, a gothic fairy tale, a moving love story, a dance spectacular for the entire family.
At the Fox, February 27th through March 11th, in the U.S. Bank Broadway series, presented by Dan St. Louis and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
Well, keep your calculator running. They just lost another helicopter in Iraq. How many schools could we have funded with that helicopter? You know what? It's amazing that we have to entrust these people to go over and so-called represent our country, and they can't even get accountability for these helicopter crashes. They don't know how they crashed. You're lying. Liz, I hope someone from the Civilian Review Board committees are listening. I just had a notion, and I really believe that as it relates to police brutality, because they're going to have a Civilian Review Board. They're just fighting it off as long as they can. But if the police department is acting within the boundaries of the law and have nothing to hide, why wouldn't they welcome a Civilian Review Board?
Fact.
I wish that with the technology that we have, Liz, every police shooting, there should be a requirement that the police officer at the scene give a video documented account of what happened so that they can't change the stories. We have the technology, do we not? Okay. And the Civilian Review Board can demand that, and they can say that if you're doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide, you're acting within the boundaries of the law, do this. Give us a videotape statement, not an hour or two later, right at the scene when it happened, while it's fresh on your mind.
There you go.
Because, you know one thing about it? Lies can change, but the truth never changes. You know, a video recorded statement at the scene when these shootings happen.
Because, I mean, think about it. When banks are robbed and they talk to witnesses, they don't talk to witnesses 15 days after. The ideal situation is that they talk to them immediately.
But if it's the police, you can wait 2 months and give a statement.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm making the point that what you're saying is what they already do with witnesses. So, and a cop is a witness to what happened. So it is absolutely imperative. I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea that if there is a police shooting, that there be a immediate videotape statement from the cop at the scene. I mean, what better way is there to document if we can take statements from witnesses, eyewitnesses, verbatim, videotape them and use those statements? Then why can't we use the cops?
When things happen right there, it's fresh on your mind, are they not?
Yeah, they are.
You can go through it right there. Don't give you a chance to forget anything.
That's fact. That's a fact. That's a great suggestion.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Juanita.
Hi, Liz. How you doing?
I am outstanding.
Yeah, the Alderman race, is that going to be next month? And I was trying to find out about Jeffrey Boyd, and is Ozier running against him?
That is correct. Jeffrey Boyd is running against Jay Ozier. And the even ward aldermen and women are running in this election in March.
Okay, now between them two, who are you supporting?
I am not supporting Jeffrey Boyd. I am not supporting Jeffrey Boyd.
That's what I told my sister. She's in his ward. I know I was in his ward one time. And he was on your show way back when, and, you know, I was working his campaign because he was, you know, I thought he was okay, but now I don't know.
I mean, the thing about it, Juanita, is that people are such disappointments. The relationship that you have with Slay, the relationship that I've talked to black business owners in the district, and I've seen the way that some of them have been treated. I do not like the relationship that you have with Francis Slay. He owns you. It's a problem. He's problematic. He's been a great disappointment.
I know, because I don't think Jeffrey supported Irene. I don't think he supported the man that was running for prosecutor. You know, I'm just saying, what is this?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. So,
you know,
he's a disappointment. He's a disappointment.
So, okay, I was just trying to find that out. Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to, email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, we're going to have a conversation about Exxon and all the other oil barons out here. Remember how I told you that the price of oil, when it went down right before the election, had something to do with, it was manipulated, it was intentional, it was done to help to take away this, what, you know, how'd that work out for them? Republicans were hoping that taking away the oil price, or taking the oil price, the gas prices down, would take away an issue from the Democrats. How'd that work out for the Republicans? They lost anyway. Well, I'm going to have a guest on to talk about how this was manipulated. And they're going to be able to explain what their evidence is. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to have a conversation with a writer and a journalist who's written a column about Barack Obama, going through his book and getting past, it's a challenge to all of us, getting past the seduction and figuring out what's the real. What's real about a person, you know? It's all, folks can talk some smack now when they're trying to get you. We've all had those sweet little nothings whispered in our ear. Wake up the next morning, like, whoa. Or upon closer examination, it's like, whoa. I think the Senate, but Barack Obama is busy about the business of seducing, hungry, love-starved American voters. I understand.
plenty of folks out there that are love starved. And a whisper or two of something sweet in your ear is very, 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 very satisfying. But you got to get past that. And that's what my guest in the 8 o'clock hour is going to talk about. And, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, of course, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We have a big, big thing coming up on the 15th. Another bus ride to Jefferson City to get on Stay on Desi. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's right. I think that all of you should be planning on, as soon as the sun comes up, making phone calls to your elected officials, your state rep, not your state reps, but your aldermen, because the Board of Aldermen is getting ready to, Francis Slay is getting ready to try to do something. So is Jim Shrewsbury. And my theory on this is from what I've been able to find out, it looks like Jim Shrewsbury is going to be supporting this ballpark village that they're going to vote on. Remember, they introduced it the end of January. Phyllis Young introduced it the end of January. It's a doggone near 200 pages, and it may be more because they could bring something to the Board of Aldermen today for people to read. That's more than what they had in January. And you can go to the Board of Aldermen website, and you can pull. You have to have Adobe 7 to pull up the documents, but it's not. You need to pull up the attachments, because that's where all the detail is. They're going to build a ballpark village, and guess what? The average home was between $200,000 and $400,000. So they're moving folks out. They're building this village. Where's the affordable housing? Where's the affordable housing? Who are they building downtown for? Oh, that's right. That's right. Not us. So understand what's happening with the schools, why they're pushing the schools the way they're pushing. They want control of the schools because they're trying to get control of the money and the downtown area to create a little oasis for people that are of a certain economic ilk. Not for anybody else. Francis is doing this the same way he got the ballpark village, or the ballpark built. Out of public eye and without your input. You need to be calling your alder people this morning because he's asking for an emergency meeting. What's the emergency? And ask yourself, why would Jim Shrewsbury support this? Could it be that he's getting money from some of these developers if he puts this through? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for the 6 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 between 6th Street and Madison. Look for traffic building due to disabled vehicle. The right lane is blocked. That's at Madison. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for traffic building there. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason. You've got traffic building there. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 255, 270 over Exchange. Look for no problems to report at this hour. Northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend is got some traffic building in that area. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic looks good. Rolling into the landing from the gravel pit. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Northbound Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is moving well this hour. And northbound 270 at Highway 70, look for some delays there as you start to make that interchange on the 70 mark. Eastbound 44 at Soccer Park through 270, look for no delays this hour as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, much colder, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of snow this afternoon with a high around 20 this evening. Mostly cloudy, low around 10 for Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy late, and then overnight becoming mostly cloudy once again with a low around 10. Then moving on to Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, but the high will only be in the mid-20s. Saturday, you may even see some snow. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 12 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 14 degrees. That is a look at this hour's news, or this hour's weather and traffic. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather up in the 7 o'clock hour. Up next, more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown, riveting radio right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll talk to you at the top of the hour.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Steele.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal. And you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
Vernon, good morning.
You know how I say good morning? But how many mornings are good in the last few years you can say good morning?
They're all good, Vernon. They're all good. Every day that we get up, it's a good
day. Every day you wake up is a blessing.
There you go.
But it's not a good morning. But, you know, you make a reference, I can understand that. About all of the money that's being spent on this war in Afghanistan and in Iraq. But I will tell you, look at the other side of the issue. Medicare, Medicaid, child, you taking food out of kids' mouth here in the morning. I mean, and you talk about you the president, you lead us to democracy. Where's our democracy if you're going to starve the people?
No, the democracy from his perspective is that the rich got theirs. Everybody else is on their own.
All right. Another question. Have anybody ever stopped to think about all of the money these big contracts have been making there? And that's money that's unaccounted for.
Oh, I've done several shows on that, Vernon. I mean, that is an issue. You look at the money
where are the investigations?
There have been a couple of investigations. In fact, there are hearings that are going on right now in Congress. In fact, there have been, Halliburton has been fined tens of millions of dollars for some of the missing money and missing, and the work that was not completed. And so there are some investigations that are ongoing right now.
Did they ever get any touch with that guy with the dump truck guy? He said he made $2-3 million. He didn't even have a dump truck.
All right. No, I don't. Thanks for your call, Vernon.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
D.
You make my days so full and complete. I look under every rock searching for new information to keep life interesting. When you explain something orgasmic, many are able to absolutely understand the picture, which is all too clear. What you say after the seduction?
There you go.
Look past the seduction.
There you go.
It was explained to me many years ago. In order to obtain a mate equal to myself, it was asked of me. After the nut, then what? It was asked of you last week, prior to the football game. Will the racers look at the game? I know absolutely. I knew absolutely they'd look at the game. Because the football game, too many, far too many, is orgasmic. And very few will leave the table prior to orgasm. I like the way you explain that about Barack, because people need to look past the seduction.
That's right.
Keep on teaching us, young lady.
All right. Thank you, D. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Sister Brown.
Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Yes, ma'am. It looks like the Ballpark Village is on the fast track.
Super duper fast.
Shrewsbury has called a special session of the Board of Aldermen to take up not one, but five bills dealing with funding for the Ballpark Village. In case your listening audience isn't aware, there's a deal on the table, I think it's $100 million, of funding for the downtown village, the Ballpark Village. You know that the owners promised to build a village?
That's right.
So now they're saying, well, we want a bigger project, so it's going to cost more. And this matter is going to be taken up today.
In one day.
The legislation was just introduced. It's my understanding that, you know, the attachments that go to the bills, one of them, we went through this yesterday, we were researching it, 198 pages.
That's correct.
You know.
Just one attachment.
That's one. That's just for one bill. Then another bill has 68 pages. Then another bill has, I think, 82 pages. But yet this is going to be on the fast track. This is going to be heard this morning in room 208 down at City Hall. I would encourage anyone who is available to go down to that hearing and voice your concerns about this legislation and about the fast manner in which it is being considered.
And you need to speak also, Irene, to the fact that in order for it to move this fast, to be voted on and decided completely, there has to be an emergency meeting of the Board of Aldermen. How does that work?
What happens is Shrewsbury called an emergency, you know, a special session, because actually they are scheduled to go, what we call go down for their winter break after their session on Friday, this coming Friday. So in order to get this legislation off, because we believe it's on a fast track, by that I mean this, it's going to come out of committee today. It's my understanding that ENA, that's composed of the mayor, the president of the board, and the comptroller, will meet at 10 o'clock, because two of the bills require the approval of the board of ENA before it can be finally passed out. It's my understanding that there's going to be a motion to what they call suspend the rules, so that should ENA approve these bills, and it's my understanding the president of the board and the mayor are on board in terms of approving this, and I only need two votes to get it out of ENA, that it will be perfected today, and then it will be finally passed out on Friday. Now, keep in mind, there hasn't been enough opportunity for the African-American Black Caucus to come together to carve out anything that might be beneficial for North St. Louis. And I'm not just talking about jobs for construction workers either, most of which our people still end up not getting.
And this is the 8th of February. This thing was introduced the last week of January.
January the 26th.
The last week of January, and it is just now February 8th. What's the emergency in this, Irene? When was the last time they held an emergency meeting like
this? The last time that it's called a special session, the last time that I can recall that a special session was called was in, I believe, December 1995, when we were taking up the lease for the Rams.
How'd that work out for us?
It worked out fine, other than, I mean, they had planned to pass it very quickly. Tom Villa was the president of the board at that time, and I stood and questioned him for probably about an hour, and had I not asked the questions, then it would have been passed, because only myself, Michael Sheehan, Vama Bailey passed on the bill. Only the two of us voted against it, so it came out very quickly, even though I know that my colleagues had not read it, because it was about probably 5 inches thick, and I had read probably 3/4 of it, but yet it was passed out. And I think this is going to be the same situation today if they get the votes. But I would urge individuals to go down to the Board of Aldermen today, room 208, and voice your concerns about this legislation, especially if being put on a fast track.
If you are
not able to go down there, I would urge the callers to call 622-3287 and voice your outrage about this legislation being put on the fast track, which is not really giving the public an opportunity to weigh in on this. I would particularly
not just the public, but your alderperson.
Your alderpeople. That's what I'm talking about. The aldermen to weigh in on this. I would also suggest that you call the Board of Aldermen again, 622-3287 today. And if you can't get through to that number, call 589-6805 and voice your opposition to this, because this is all this money is going down for the Ballpark Village. There has not been anything carved out of this to benefit other areas of the city, particularly North St. Louis, and to put pressure on the members of the board, and particularly those from the African-American community. Is my understanding that the chair of the Automatic Black Caucus, I believe Terry Kennedy, sits on the HUD's committee, which will be taking this up. this morning at 9 o'clock.
And I had a conversation with Lewis Reed about 5:15 this morning. And Lewis Reed was saying that he was trying to get a hold of the attorney that's supposed to be, that's part of the team that's supposed to be bringing the documents down to the board. He says that this is crazy, that this is moving too fast, that people haven't had time to look at this and see what is good and also to negotiate things that are beneficial to the entire city when we're spending this kind of money.
Exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. You have, on the HUD's committee, I'm going to call out the names of the individuals. Fred Wessels is the chair. Phyllis Young, I guess, is the vice. No, she's not the vice chair. But these are her bills.
You're right. She introduced these bills.
If you live in the 7th Ward, call Phyllis Young. Tell her you do not want her to take up these bills this morning. Barfrey is on this committee. Conway, Greg Carter, Craig Smith is the vice chair. Villa, April Ford Griffin, Lida Cruson, Ken Ortman, Lewis Reed, Dion Flowers, Jeffrey Boyd, Catherine Hanahan, and Bernice Jones King.
And the number that they can call to get to any of them would be 622-3287.
622-3287. If that line is busy, call 589-6805.
Very good. Irene, I know you're going down there this morning.
Yes, I am.
All right, well, let us know.
All right.
All right, thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Got to take a break. Stay with me. 454-0400 is the phone number. I'll be back. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Sears, get on down there, get your shop on, and tell them when you get down there, I told you to.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's not the balloon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Just as nervous you. It is your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, yes, just the nervous of you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. It's good to talk to you this morning, and thank you for bringing the information to us. This emergency bill is a chance for the public, city to take the money from the public schools and to build this ballpark village and for the mayor to take over the public schools. Now we see why he wanted to take over the public schools, because he knew that about that money, and that's the reason why he's been running up to Jefferson City. The Southside aldermen may make some money, but some of the school retirees who live on the Southside had better get to their elected officials and call them, because they're going to feel this in the reduction of their monthly pension checks if the mayor gets control of the schools and their trustee board money.
Right.
We need to call our elected officials and ask them to vote no. You know, this is a case of the thieves wearing white shirts. Thieves never sleep.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Ms. Brown.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Ed Brown?
Yes.
You know what? I have to come at you and say thank you very much between you, Ms. Brown, and R.D.A. Smith. You guys are most informative, and you're intelligent, and you're definitely in the mood of what's happening in normality.
Thanks for your call, Vernon.
But now, I will say this too. Tell these people they laying for all that ballpark billing, because the average person can't go down there.
That's why you need to pick up your phone. And you need to call 622-3287, and you need to tell them
that.
Wait
a minute. That's
622-3287.
3287.
That's right. That's right. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. There are all kinds of things that are going on while you sleep. There are all kinds of things that you need to be involved in. Pass the word on. I know all of you know people out there. This ballpark village is $100 million project. That we know of. On the table is $100 million project. How are you going to just pass $100 million project through in one day? You're going to have a special meet? You're going to suspend the rules to vote this out of committee? You're going to have E&A, Francis Slay and Jim Shrewsbury decide this? It's election time? What does Jim Shrewsbury get out of passing this bill out? You know, I guess he's going to take 5 minutes to come out of his law office and walk across the street, or no, walk from the county, because his law office is in the county, to vote. To say yes, to give these businesses, there's no way he could have read this. There's no way he could have read this. This is the reason why we have government by the people. You all need to pick up the phone and call down there, call your alderperson, say no, slow this down. Let people have a chance to read it. Let people have a chance to put into this bill. When we have $100 million, you need to know where this money is going to go. You need to know if the entire community will benefit from this. $100 million project, and they're trying to fast track it and get it passed in 2 days. 1-877-920-WGNU. Representative Charles Quincy True, Alderman True.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, you know, everybody wonder why the city is poor. And it's poor because when you look at, they give all of the city's treasures to rich people.
Mm.
And they give away money. You know, it's got to be legal. They got non-bid contracts. All kind of stuff that give all of the powerful and the rich all of this contract. What they're doing now is crazy. Right now, the Cardinals have three youth programs in South County and South St. Louis. They don't have not one program in North St. Louis.
Mm.
We're going to spend $100 million to help them build housing for rich people, and we don't have nothing for the poor people. And we can't even get our neighborhoods redeveloped. We can't even get city services because the city say we don't have no money because they give it all to the rich people. And this is a glowing example of why this black caucus got. We have the power to stop it. And if we don't stop it, we don't have nothing else to complain about on white people ever in our lives, because we have the power, we have the votes, we have the numbers to take this thing off. And if we don't use our power, then black people need to kick us in our tail. And I mean, like, for real. Because we've got the power to make a difference in black people's lives. And if we don't do it,
explain
then
that's
not on white people. That's
explain how that works, Quincy.
Well, I mean, they've got to have a supermajority.
A supermajority for which part? For which part of it?
In order to fast-track this thing, to suspend the rules.
Okay.
They can't suspend the rules and fast-track it if the black people, aldermen, don't allow them to do it. And if we allow them to benefits for black people,
true. Okay, but again, I still don't think that people necessarily understand what you're saying. At what point is that today black... Okay, so all aldermen have been called in for a vote today. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what time are all alder people supposed to be there?
10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock. So
we're gonna be fast at nine o'clock. The committee is gonna meet.
Okay.
The HUD committee.
The HUD committee is gonna meet at 9. Then the entire board of aldermen is supposed
it's
to meet
at 10 o'clock.
Okay. And how many? But when you say a supermajority, how many votes does that take?
It's gonna take 20 votes.
Now, is that 20 votes of the people present or 20 votes?
20 votes, period. And they can't get it no kind of way without the black caucus.
Wait a minute. 20 votes of the people present?
20 votes, period.
Okay.
You've got to have 20 votes to fast track it.
Okay. And how... Okay, so then if no black alder person showed up today, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, but that would be punking out. They need to come out and say that we represent black people and we want a piece of the pie. This is about money. And we need money for our communities. And we need services for our communities. I got villains I've been trying to get boarded up for 6 months. This is crazy. And black people need to know what's happening to them.
So every person should call down to the Board of Aldermen and tell their alderperson to vote no on this fast track.
That's right.
To vote no on this fast track. Or call your alderperson up. If you have their phone number, call them up right now. And I encourage everybody in the city of St. Louis to call their alderperson and say no to this.
Yes.
Because the fact of the matter is that nobody, because they're going to be bringing amendments today.
That's right. It's 622-3287 is the board of aldermen switchboard.
622-3287. Folks need to call down there and say no. Slow this down.
Until we get something out of it, it's got to be crazy. How we give everybody everything and we don't give ourselves anything?
But how can any alder person vote for this, Quincy? Any alder person, when they're going to be bringing new amendments to the bill today?
Well, you know, that is, well, number one, how are you going to vote on a bill, a 300-400-page bill, and you've never seen it?
There you go.
I mean,
there you go.
Insane.
There you go.
I don't even know if it's legal.
And it's $100 million worth of a vote.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Thanks, Quinn.
Right.
My name is Liz Brown. The St. Louis Public Schools Watch is in the next hour. Stay with me.
You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,
black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Authorities in Austria have busted a huge child porn ring. It stretches all the way to the U.S.
A tip-off from an internet file hosting service got officials rolling last summer, and now they've uncovered around 2,400 suspects from 77 countries who paid $90 each to view video clips of young children being sexually abused. No suspects are yet in custody, but police are sharing information. Some 600 names on the list come from the U.S.
ABC's Tom Rivers in London. First, it was bitter cold. Now much of the country from the Midwest to the Northeast is getting something else from Old Man Winter. They are getting snow. It's tough going, especially in upstate New York. That's where the Weather Channel's Mike Seidel's trying to stay warm.
The bitter cold seems to be impacting just about the entire country. From 42 below zero on Tuesday morning in Embarrassed, Minnesota. Chicago, four mornings in a row below zero. In fact, so cold that the Chicago River has been iced over. And here in western and central New York, it's lake effect snow.
At least 11 deaths are blamed on the cold. Lisa Nowak is on her way back to Houston wearing an electronic monitoring device. It'll track her whereabouts. The astronaut now charged with trying to kill a romantic rival in Orlando, Florida. Officer Barbara Jones with the Orlando Police Department.
We believe it was over some type of a relationship that she may have had, and she indicated that it was professional, but it wasn't all the way romantic.
NASA's given Nowak a 30-day leave. The military is looking into reports of a helicopter that went down outside Baghdad. Witnesses say the Marine chopper went down today in a predominantly Sunni area. We are more likely to gain weight if we don't get enough sleep. So apparently are our children. A Northwestern University study says kids who don't get the adequate number of Z's are more likely to have BMIs that are higher. Experts say each additional hour of sleep will reduce a child's chances of being overweight by one-third. This is ABC News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones? Or maybe just a rotation? No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Hollywood may not be calling Daniel Baldwin much these days, but apparently the law is looking for him. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
The warrant was issued when Baldwin missed a court date for arraignment on grand theft auto charges. Neither he nor his lawyer showed up for Tuesday's hearing. The actor had been free on bond since his arrest last November when police picked him up driving a friend's car that had been reported stolen. Daniel Baldwin faces up to 3 years in prison if he's convicted of the charges. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A problem for many school districts across the country is that teachers burn out very quickly and often the best of the profession leave for higher-paying jobs. Now states from Oregon to Georgia are doing all they can to keep these teachers in the classroom. Some are considering mentoring partnerships, which would help newer teachers adjust to the job. They'd be partnered with a more experienced educator. Others are giving tax incentives or even lower-rate mortgages for teachers. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News report is sponsored by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, 67-year-old Kenneth Bomrick gets the death sentence again for killing his wife Mary and wounding four others. Shootings took place outside the St. Louis County Courthouse back in 1992. Bob Ruck was tried and sentenced back in 2001, but was granted a retrial. It took under 3 hours for a St. Charles County jury to return the new verdict. Earlier this week, formal sentencing is set for March 19th. In Valley Park, aldermen are trying to keep illegal immigrants out of their community, despite the fact that two previous Valley Park laws against illegal immigrants were already blocked by a judge. Monday night, the board passed one measure to require landlords to show their tenants' citizenship and relationship to other tenants. Another measure would punish businesses that hire illegal immigrants. And some news out of Jefferson City. Attorney General Jane Nixon announced recently that the Missouri Department of Social Services is getting a settlement of over $3 million as part of a nationwide Medicaid fraud settlement against pharmaceutical giant Shearing Plough. Shearing Plough is the manufacturer of the popular anti-allergy medication Claritin, as well as several other prescription drugs. Nixon says the settlement resolves allegations that the Delaware-based company's marketing and distribution practices of Claritin and other drugs resulted in the Medicaid program paying too much in reimbursements in some cases and not receiving the full amount of rebates due in other cases. The settlement resolves allegations of misreported prices to the Health Care Financing Administration. The misreported prices meant the Medicaid programs were underpaid millions of dollars in rebates. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News, brought to you by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. Candy Bouquet, something special for that special someone for Valentine's, birthdays, or just about any day. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit CandyBouquet.com for a location near you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for your 7 o'clock hour. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked, and that's at West Florissant. There's another at Washington Elizabeth on the right shoulder, so expect some delays up North County. Southbound McKenzie at Weber, look for a water main broke. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight, as well as from Maryville Center through Mason. Look for some slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge through 270. Look for slowdowns as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, starting stack up at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the gravel pit, all the way in the landing, is looking good. Northbound 270 at 44 in Big Bend. Look for some slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect a couple of delays going on there as well. Westbound 5570 from the 64 split into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for a slowdown, as well as from 64 westbound from Bow Avenue to the 5570 merge. And that is a... Oh, also, we've got just a report of another accident. Northbound 55 in Virginia and 4500 South Broadway. That is an accident. The shoulder's blocked. That's at 45 South Broadway. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy, much colder, 30% chance of light snow in the afternoon, high around 20 this evening. Mostly cloudy with a low around 10. Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy as you get into the late evening and overnight hours. Then back to mostly cloudy by early morning with a low around 10. Then Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day with a high only in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 11 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 14, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Peter with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
To you, you were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
other thing that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother. Up this man.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. All right. We had a meeting last night.
Yes, we did.
What? Okay. Is it a surprise what happened last night?
What? Yeah, I was a bit surprised at the time. I guess I should have seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But we had three board members, Archibald, Jackson, and O'Brien, who essentially decided to give up on doing their jobs. They're just going to keep holding the positions.
So what happened? I mean, what was last night? What kind of
last night was the administrative meeting mm-hmm. of the school board. That's the meeting where we set the agenda for the regular public meeting. And which basically means that, you know, most things on the agenda come from the superintendent. They have contracts that need to be signed, books to be bought, tests to be bought, people to be hired to do one thing or another. The nitty-gritty operations of the district that the board has to approve.
Okay.
And
the result of what happened last night is the agenda that you see the second Tuesday of the month.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's presented on the first Tuesday. Board members ask questions to get some idea what it is they're voting on. If they didn't understand the written material given them, then it goes to the regular board meeting, and there's a second opportunity to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then we vote on the second Tuesday. Very, very unusual. Archibald, Jackson, O'Brien voted against putting anything on the agenda.
Wait a minute, Peter. They voted against putting any item on the agenda?
Anything from the kids. They were happy with the Pledge of Allegiance and adjournment.
But other than the Pledge of Allegiance and adjournment.
Other than that, any actual business, they voted against putting on the agenda.
They voted against. And any reasons given?
No.
No reason.
They're just voting against conducting business.
And two of the three of them are running for office to be put on the school board.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. We have a lot to talk about. We'll be back. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown. Inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Do you feel confident about your money?
If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative, Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCrease School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Cooper Kite knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kite has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. And, Peter, there's a meeting coming up with DESE on the 15th.
Yes, the State School Board is going to meet on February 15th in Jefferson City. We aren't sure at the time yet. They are, unlike the previous meeting where a couple hundred people from St. Louis came out, they're saying their official position right now is they don't know what time they're going to meet, you know, in 1 week.
In one week. And they have how many members? They have, what, six members here?
Seven members.
Seven members, and their members don't know. So these people who all have jobs and professions and stuff are not being given notice of what time this meeting is.
That's what we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe that they won't know until late Friday when they're going to meet.
Day after tomorrow.
Yes.
Day after tomorrow.
Yeah, which means if they don't know, they may not actually get the word out then until Monday.
And then that would be Tuesday that they're supposed to be. The 15th is on a...
No, they're going to meet a week from Thursday.
Okay. Let me get some of these numbers out right quick.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Then after that, I want to say there are buses going up to Jeff City to be there. Three buses, but we'll talk about that after these numbers
out. So let me give the number out. The president of the board, who is a rabid anti-urban school person, he's also the owner of, what is it?
Silver Dollar City,
Branson. His number is 417-334-0142. That's Peter Hirschfeld. And then also Reverend Stanley Archie, who is the newest appointee from Blount. He used to run a charter school.
And he was on the board of a charter school.
On the board of a charter school. He's the one that was asking the really good questions at the last meeting.
Right. He's the one who said he'd have concern about taking away people's votes.
And here's his number to call to tell him that, you know what, we don't want our votes taken away. There were 1,200 people. Let them know what you saw and what you were part of on last Tuesday. His number is Reverend Stanley Archie's number is 816-822-8516. That's 816-822-8516. And pass that number on. Let me say that number one more time. 816-822-6516.
No, it's 8516.
8516. What did I say?
Six.
Okay. 816-822-8516. That is Reverend Stanley Archie's number. Okay.
Yes.
So you wanted to say.
Yes. Next Thursday, there will be three buses leaving from 2710 Hampton, which is the headquarters of the teachers and other employees of the union.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Local 420. Three buses. So if you want to go up on a bus, reserve a space on a bus, call, it's 7, let me find that number real quickly.
Okay.
781-2077 to get a seat on the bus up to the State School Board meeting.
So go get your pencils and pens. If you haven't had time to get these numbers, we will be repeating them throughout this hour. And I got to get back to the business of the board and the astonishing thing of three board members voting to put nothing, voting, they wanted absolutely nothing on the agenda, no business for the district on the agenda for the school board meeting. They voted against that.
They voted, yeah.
They voted against every
single business item. And they voted no to put any of them on the agenda.
And they said no reason why.
None.
So the obvious conclusion is that, you know what, they want the district to run into the ground.
Yes. Yeah, I think that is the obvious conclusion. They want to bring the district to a standstill. They want to bring the education of children to a standstill.
They don't care. They don't give a horse's patoot about what's happening to our district. Now, when we look at the president of DESE, you were telling me a story about something that he had said to someone who had asked him a question about what's going on in the district, that there was some misdirection about the number of accreditation points that the district has.
Yes, just to explain to everybody, there are 14 accreditation standards, mm-hmm. and districts have to meet 6 to be provisionally accredited.
And this is new.
This is new. Yeah, this is as of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be done on a scale of 100 points. So as of this year, there are 14 standards. You have to meet 6 to be accredited. DESE has said to St. Louis, they said, you've met 5, and we're looking at the data for a 6th one. The district thinks we've met the 6, but there's some... DESE has decided there's new data and new ways they want data that they've never requested before.
And break that down for the audience, because it really shows the political nature of where we are and the intent to destroy our district from the people that are supposed to be helping public schools thrive. Talk to us about this new standard, I mean the new requirements for this standard.
Okay, the 6th standard that the administrators of St. Louis Public School think the school district has met has to do with, it's called graduate placement. It's mm-hmm. the number of graduates who go on to college or technical school.
Mm-hmm.
And what normally happens is, and what most school districts do, what St. Louis had done in the past is they go to the high school counselors and they say, give us a summary, you know, of how many kids. They'll say, we have 500 students who graduated this year, 100 are going on to University of Missouri, 20 are going on to Southeast Missouri, 25 are going to Harris Stowe, 30 are going to Rankin, you know, whatever
right.
the numbers are.
Right.
They give them that summary. So, and that goes in the state. And the state has always accepted that in the past. Well, this year, the state says, for the past 5 years, we want to know the individual name of each student who graduated.
Instead of the number.
Instead of the number of students who graduated and the number going on to specific college. They want the individual name, birth date, race, and gender of each school. And
of each person.
Of each person. And a copy of the actual graduation program that lists each person's name going back 5 years.
Now, does any other district have to do it like this?
From what I hear, no. The St. Louis Public Schools has asked DESE to tell them what other districts they've asked
uh-huh.
this kind of information from so that we can find out how they went back and reconstructed this data. Because we're talking about 4 years of data.
5 years.
5 years. 5 years of data. 1 year is new.
Right.
New data. The previous 4 years, that's all data that St. Louis Public Schools had previously. Over the previous 4 years, submitted to DESE, and that DESE had previously said, this is fine. So we're looking at information that DESE had said, this is fine in years past, and now they're saying, oh, forget that we said it was fine in the past. We want you to go back in time 5 years and reconstruct it with this detail, and we want these actual programs from the actual high schools listing the individuals graduating.
And are high school graduation programs part of the official records of a administrative office of a district?
No.
How could they be? How could a high school
The administration, they have records of who graduated and who didn't, but the central office does not put on the graduation ceremonies. Each high school puts on their own graduation ceremony.
And does every graduation list on the program all of the people that are graduating?
I don't know.
I mean, conceivably, there are some programs that we're not going to list the names of the people.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I can, I guess we can all go back and recall what happened when we graduated. When I graduated, you know, and again, this is different. Things change. But certainly my high school just, you know, the several, we actually had a 1,000 graduating class. No, they didn't list 1,000 names.
Okay.
You know, you have this, you have a little program. You know, graduates stood up, you know.
There you go. There you go. So we're here. So now, Desi, and mind you, we are 1 point away from accreditation.
Yes.
Full accreditation?
Provisional
accreditation. We are 1 point away from provisional accreditation. And Desi is now saying, we want the name, the individual names of the graduates. We want to know their genders. We want to know their race. We want a blood sample from each one of them. And we want a program from the graduation where they graduated in order for you to satisfy this. So presumably, if you cannot provide the names and something that you've never asked for before, and it is unclear that any other district is being asked this, and I doubt that any other district is being asked this, presumably if you can't provide the names and if you can't provide the birth dates and if you can't provide the gender and if you can't provide the race and if you can't provide the programs, you don't get that point.
And why this is important is because the whole plan to impose a transition panel, an appointed panel to take over the district, they only think it's legal, and it may not be legal then, but they only think it's legal if the district is unaccredited. The law is very clear. If it's provisionally accredited, that panel doesn't have any power.
So they have to
make St. Louis Public Schools fail in order to appoint a panel to take it over.
So therefore, that's why you see three board members who support this saying, don't put an agenda out, because that makes a district fail. Three board members saying, don't pay bills so that people will sue the district, and that makes the district fail. That's why you see three board members dissenting into mindless chaos at board meetings, so that there is a public perception that this district is failing. Because they need the district to fail in order for this three-person panel to take over.
Yep.
Another attempt at that was a headline in the paper yesterday. Or was it the day before?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. A headline in the paper yesterday about this, I don't even want to call it a report. I don't know. What do you call it? I don't know. You can't call it a report. This op piece.
This opinion piece.
This opinion piece that had more than one. It wasn't one column. It was a number of pages to it. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's a group that it turns out is kind of headed up by Archibald's adopted son, Hanisch, mm-hmm. I think his name is. He's the same guy who ran the campaign for charter amendment.
Okay. He did really well with that.
Well, now he's running a foundation that says their mission is market-oriented solutions for public policy things. And in other words, their mission is privatizing public services.
Mm.
Right. And so they hired a guy from a group called the American Enterprise Institute. Mm-hmm. Similarly,
Newt Gingrich, a right-wing super.
Yeah, Lynn Cheney, Vice President Cheney's right. wife is on there. To write something that says the mayor should control St. Louis Public Schools.
They commissioned him to do that.
So he tried to make it look academic.
Well, he got paid.
He got paid. He had to turn out something. Couldn't just write one sentence. Right.
We'll be back to discuss this further. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. You don't want to miss any of this. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for that accident to have been cleared around West Florissant exit. However, there's still residual slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason and then again from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for some slowdowns going on there. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass into the 270 exchange. Look for some slowdowns as you're getting on to 270. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got a slowdown going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow moving into the gravel pit all the way into the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got a slowdown all the way back through 8th Street. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the PSB looks good. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split looks good as well. Northbound 270 from Gravelway through Big Bend is slowing down. Westbound 270 from Canal Bridge to Chain of Rocks. Look for traffic to be building there. And eastbound 70 from 270 into St. Charles Rock Road. You've got a bit of a slowdown as well. Northbound 270 at Dorset all the way into 70. Look for slowdowns in the right lanes as you approach the 70 exits. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly cloudy, much colder, 30% chance of light snow in the afternoon, high around 20 for this evening, mostly cloudy, low around 10 for Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s for Thursday evening. It's kind of crazy, mostly cloudy early in the evening, partly cloudy throughout the late evening hours and early morning, then returning to mostly cloudy skies with a low around 10. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy and becoming partly sunny by the afternoon, but the high will only be in the mid-20s. Saturday, they're calling for a bit of precipitation, possibly snow with a high in the mid-20s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 14 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 13, both under mostly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Good morning, Miss Reed. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from McLean School, second grade room 209. Miss Reed, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. And Peter, before we get back to our conversation, I want to remind everybody, and I think this is interesting too, on Saturday from 10:30 to 12 o'clock at Northwest High School Auditorium, there will be an open dialogue with the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners. It is critical that you all attend this. The Organization of Black Struggle, the Citizens Against Police Crimes and Repression are going to be there. All of us need to be there in order to have a conversation with the Board of Police Commissioners. And mind you, when the Board of, since we don't control our police board, since we don't control our police department, it's controlled by the state of Missouri, when the Board of Police Commissioners meets, they never let people ask them questions. I mean, they have forums, they have meetings, but unlike at the St. Louis School Board, you can go down and you can ask questions. You cannot ask questions at the meetings that they hold. So it is important for people to come to this meeting on Saturday to be able to ask the questions from 10:30 to 12 o'clock at Northwest High School in their auditorium. That's 5140 Riverview. That's 5140 Riverview from 10:30 to 12 o'clock at Northwest High School. There's going to be a full Saturday.
Yeah, Liz, how long has that meeting been scheduled?
It's been scheduled for 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
All right, so it's been known for a while?
Yes, it has.
Yeah, because interestingly enough, after the big meeting at Harris Stowe,
Where 1,200 people show up.
Mm-hmm. After that meeting, a group called Agenda for Children at Risk, Ron Jackson's on the board of that, one of the people, PR people who did that bogus survey.
Super bogus survey.
Is on the board. They've their leader said they're coordinating with Slay their meetings. So after the big meeting at Harris Stowe, they said, we're going to have a meeting to get public comment to send on to DESE about their plans to take over St. Louis Public Schools. And they've scheduled it also for this Saturday, also at 10 o'clock.
Isn't that something? And the super bogus, the reason I said that it was such a super bogus survey, but it also gave headlines to newspapers that community is in support of a state takeover, that their report gave gave rise to those headlines. I have never, because I went through the actual report. I went through the stats that these three people, that all three of them, in fact, the head of the person that did this counted the stats. His clients, his chief clients, are the Post-Dispatch. The Post-Dispatch, Danforth, and one more person that his clients are the people that if he put out the wrong report, he wouldn't have the clients for. But I've never seen a report where a statistician took a survey and counted numbers and didn't report how many people they had talked to in the report. I've never seen a survey that didn't say how many people were in the survey.
So you guys, majority, but you don't know majority of what?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they're having their little meeting this Saturday. They were pushed to have their little meeting on Saturday. I want to back up a little bit, Peter, and talk about, again, these brand new, super insane requirements that DESE is now saying that the St. Louis Public Schools have to satisfy in order to meet their one point short of provisional accreditation. And they're saying we want the list of the students that graduated and went on to college, but we want their birth dates, we want their gender, we want their race. We want their race, and we want the programs from the graduations to show that their names are on the program. These onerous new requirements, when did DESE say, oh yeah, y'all need to meet these new requirements? When was that?
Well, the letter I saw was dated February 1st.
Two days after over 1,200 people met. Isn't that something? What does that say to you?
Well, it says what we said before. They are desperate to make St. Louis Public Schools fail.
And so they came up with this extraordinary. I mean, it's laughable if it wasn't so serious. It is laughable that DESE is now saying we want you to go back 5 years, get the names, get the genders, get the race, and get the programs from the graduation ceremonies with their names in it. And I heard they're also saying that we want to know the schools they went to, too.
Schools they went to, when they went to them.
And no other district has ever been asked this.
What I understand is no other district has asked. Now, I'm not familiar with the other districts, but people who are tell me that this is not asked of other districts.
And this is something, this is never anything that Desi's ever asked before.
Right, hasn't been asked in St. Louis.
What are the ramifications of asking this, these types of questions? What does this do to what does it say about Desi for them to be asking these questions about to the city of St. Louis Public Schools?
Well, I think it really discredits Desi and the whole accreditation process, because what it said, you know, I think most people in the state look at this as some kind of objective process, that Desi is objectively trying to educate kids throughout the state, that they have this measuring stick they use, they apply to all schools to see how good their education is. And what this is saying is that, no, it's a completely political process and completely arbitrary.
Completely political and completely arbitrary. That it's breathtaking, but I think that people really need to be mindful of the fact that these are, when people act desperately, they do stupid things, okay? As a result of over 1,200 people going to Harris Stowe, Desi is now desperate. They cannot turn away from the fact that they cannot make the argument that people in the city of St. Louis don't care. They want the state takeover. Their little fake report is of absolutely no value now. So they're acting desperately, and then when you act desperate, you do stupid things. And it is a stupid thing to say we need these programs for these graduation ceremonies as part of the accreditation process.
Yeah, and it's one of several things that they're doing. As we talk about this, you know, they're doing stupid things. They're also trying to set up, like, this meeting Saturday, which is at the Engineers Club, by the way, in Lindell. You know, another alternative, you know, normally they get maybe 50 or 60 people. You know, but they would say, oh, well, here, we had two meetings, and one meeting said, we all want state turnover. And again, as you've shown, they don't like to use numbers.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Because numbers,
so they wouldn't say how few people are there.
Exactly.
If they get that.
And let's give out that the numbers again, because the meeting, we need everybody to go up to Desi on the 15th of February. The numbers that you can call, to let the members of Desi know that you do not support a state takeover, nor do you support the nullification of your vote with a three-panel appointment. Reverend Stanley Archie, his number is 816-822-8516. That's 816-822-8516. And if you want to call the vice president, his name is Russell Thompson, 573-442-4271. That's 573-442-4271. And the president is 417-334-0142. Those are some numbers that you can call. And also, there's a number if you want to get on the bus for the 15th.
Right, because I think we should all be leery of believing that Desi's people are going to give the board the full numbers who are out opposing state takeover.
Right.
They're going to have to see us in numbers
there
in Jefferson City on
the
15th.
Again.
So there are buses going up. The number to get a seat on that bus is 781-2077.
And give that number out again.
781-2077. That's to get a seat on the bus going up to Jefferson City on February 15th.
And again, Peter, we're seeing... we're just seeing amazing things in terms of the desperate actions that people are engaging in to try and kill this district. It just seems like every week that there's a new desperate act that somebody is engaging in to try to tell a lie about our district and also to try to kill our district.
Yeah, and talking about lies, and we hadn't finished talking about that headline about mayoral control. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned earlier the bogus survey that it had its purpose was to get a headline.
There you go.
That says that the community wants state control. And the headline was then sent up to all these legislators in Jeff City.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a headline yesterday saying mayoral control is best. And the actual document written by the guy who wrote that.
The guy who works for the people like Cheney's wife and Newt Gingrich, this right-wing conservative organization. And also, just it needs to be noted, too, that George Bush's head of education has also advocated that school boards be abolished all over the country and that mayors take over, that there be appointed positions for the school board. So this is it makes sense that this right-wing organization with Dick Cheney's wife and Newt Gingrich would have that position. So that person was hired to make a report on whether or not the mayor should be running the school district, right?
Yes.
And guess
yes.
what? His conclusion is that...
The mayor should. You know? And the interesting thing about the report, and I've read the report, and I got to say, at least the guy was... You know, has the appearance of honesty in looking at the research, because he said
in his report
that there is no evidence of any difference in performance between districts run by mayors and districts run by school board members. There's no evidence of any difference in academic performance. There's no evidence of any difference of financial performance.
You mean difference in when the mayor ran? I mean, when the mayor ran the district and what didn't get better?
Right. Right.
It didn't get better.
Mayor runs it, there's no evidence of all the studies that have been done, and there have been a few, but the studies have been done looking at dozens of districts. There's no evidence that having the mayor run it makes the district any better than having an elected school board run.
But we have the data that shows that when a mayor runs it, the district gets worse.
Here, yes.
Yes. So we have
yes.
so the data we have is that not only is it not better,
but that's
it
this
is
mayor.
Worse.
That's this mayor.
But he's still a mayor. He's still a mayor. And he gets yes. into the stats. We'll be back after this. Stay with me. Know the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Later today on WGNU's Sloan Ranger Show, in the 5 p.m. hour, Lloyd talks with Brian Patrick Mitchell of Investors Business Daily. He's also the author of 8 Ways to Run the Country, a new and revealing look left and right. And in the 6 p.m. hour, Lloyd discusses a controversial bill that has people on all sides of gun control up in arms, with his guest Larry Pratt, director of Gun Owners of America. That's Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, 5 till 7 tonight on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Kayla Thompson calling you from the Cleveland School, second grade, on 209. Thank you, Miss Lee, for buying me a pretty necklace in Africa. Every time I wear the pretty necklace, I think about you. When I grow up, I would like to be just like you. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. You are a very beautiful lady, and you are special to me. I love you so much, Miss Lee. Yesterday, I received a trophy for... This is a trophy. This is Kayla Thompson from 209, where dignity reigns supreme. From all the children in room 209, have a great summer. We love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And Peter, we were having a conversation about the article that was written and the reason for it and the report, or not the report, but the op piece that was written.
Yeah, well, the op piece, he makes clear that this is not about education. Mayoral control over school boards is not about education, because
it doesn't make any difference in education.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's about is privatization,
mm.
you know, which is what this organization that Archibald's son runs, that's what they're about, is privatization. They're about getting contracts, turning things over to private companies so that they don't have to abide by the same reporting requirements if they work directly for an elected board, by the same... let's take Alvarez and Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they worked directly for the school district, if they were employees of the school district instead of a private company, a lot of the expenses they charged would have been illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are laws, and state laws and federal laws, that set limits on what you can do for lunch and travel and those kind of things. But you contract out to a private company, there are no limits.
Mm. And I want to go back to, where we started, Peter. I'd like to go back to the meeting last night, because the more I think about it and the more I reflect upon what happened at the meeting last night, the administrative meeting last night, it screams the politics of what is going on. It also screams just the utter disregard that this administration has for our children and how far they are willing to go to trample on our children to get at the hundreds of millions of dollars that this school district has. We had three school board members, two, that are in such contempt of us that they're running for re-election, and three people that voted against having anything. They didn't want anything on the agenda for the public meeting on next Tuesday for the St. Louis Public Schools. And one of the things that Diana Borisso did that is just fabulous, that is just absolutely fabulous, that she connected to the agenda is this. Explain to us what she connected to the agenda.
She had for each item on the agenda, she specified which state standard it's connected to.
Wow.
From the MSIP, Missouri School Improvement Program,
mm-hmm.
and also which of the district standards, so it's a comprehensive school improvement plan, which of those it's connected to. So each item is connected to our improvement plan for the district and a state standard.
Wow. So I've never seen this done before. I've never seen this kind of connectivity being done so that everybody knows the reason for this item on the agenda. It is moving us towards the accreditation process.
Right.
And so, okay, so board members couldn't say, I mean, she really kept board members from saying, what does this have to do with anything? Well, look, read your piece of paper. This gets us to this piece of the accreditation process. So she took away the opportunity for the normal irresponsible members of the board to say anything, but also speak to the specific stuff that they said, no, we're not going to put that on the board because we don't care whether anything like that is passed for this district. What do they say?
Let me do a few examples. One was to accept $8.8 million from the federal government for upgrading the computer connections and phone lines in schools so that we can run computers out. You know?
Wait a minute. It was just say yes to $8 million
say
for
yes
our babies.
Say yes to $8.8 million.
For our babies.
Yes.
And wait a minute. Veronica, Archibald, and Jackson. Archibald and Jackson, who are running for re-election, said, no, we don't want that on the agenda to say yes to. No!
We don't even want to deal with it. We don't want to discuss it, they say. And that, they voted no to even discuss that.
Say no to yes. They said no to saying yes to $8 million for the district. Dang!
But, another item was to adopt the calendar for next year, the school calendar, so people know when school starts.
So parents know.
Yes. So parents know when kids are supposed to be in school, what days they have off for holidays. Teachers know when they're supposed to be at work.
They said no.
They said no. Let's not even discuss it. Another thing was $21,000 to send 26 fifth graders from Gateway down to the U.S. Space and Rocket Center.
No.
For an educational camp at U.S. Space and Rocket Center.
They said no.
They said no. We don't want them to have that opportunity. So these are the kind of things that they were saying. We don't want to discuss them. We don't want this business to go forward.
And again, Peter, that shows the absolute utter contempt that they have, and the political, how far these people are willing to go. Francis Slay is willing to go. How far Kent King is willing to go. All of these people are willing to go to hurt our children, to hurt our district in order to get at the money. Now, tell me again why Francis Slay should be running the district when his people are saying no to $8 million for upgrading our computers. They're saying no to our children going to space camp. They're saying no to those types of things. So tell me why Francis Slay should pick the person when he already picked. These are the people he picked. He already picked.
He said all three of them are people he picked.
Okay, all three of these people are people that Francis Slay picked, and the people that Francis Slay picked are saying no to this.
I think it's really criminal.
It really is. It is an obscenity. It is an obscenity wrapped in criminality. I mean, you know, this is outrageous. So, again, people need to go up to Jefferson City, Wynn, and give them the phone number, too.
February 15th, a week from Thursday.
Start planning it.
Buses will leave at 6:30 in the morning from 2710 Hampton. To get a seat on a bus, call 781-2077.
One more time. Slower.
781-2077.
And that's the number that you call to reserve your seat on the bus going up to Jefferson City on the 15th.
That's right.
And we don't know the time yet because they don't. You know, what you did, folks did such a wonderful, wonderful job last week of showing up, but over 1,200 people were there, and they want to try to keep people from having that kind of presence.
They don't want to see you next week.
No, they don't. And Peter, can you think of some of the? It was such a good week. It was really such a good week. When you were talking to people down at the board, and when you were reading the articles that came out after the over 1,200 people showed up, what was the general consensus? What were people saying about that meeting?
Oh, I think people were very pumped. Mm-hmm. People were very excited mm-hmm. by that. And
assessing the press coverage of the event, what would you say? How would you assess it?
I'd say overall it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Overall it was good. And it was exciting to read about, exciting
mm-hmm.
to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who didn't go were kind of like, oh, you know, I'm sorry my kid was sick or whatever, you know, was. You know, they wanted to be there, be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is hopeful mm-hmm. that kind of turnout will get attention.
Yeah. And from what we've reported today, it has gotten attention. 2 days after that, over 1,200 people showed up, Kent King came up with these extraordinary, crazy requirements to try to keep us from full accreditation. And a few days after that, we have the people that brought us the lie about the report of what the community wanted, what the community supported with the state takeover. They brought us that lie. They're going to have another meeting to try to create yet another lie about that. So people that are in opposition to this are moving.
They are moving. But it shows again. You know, there's no knockout punch on this.
There you go.
It's a long-term battle we're in here.
Yeah, it is.
And we got to keep fighting.
Absolutely.
We did fabulous. We knocked them to the floor.
Yeah, we did.
On Thursday the 30th, but, you know.
They did, yeah.
They're going to find some way to cheat to get around it.
There you go. Let me get to a caller or two. Juanita.
Hi, Aliz. I was wondering, since Veronica turned out to be such a terrible person, taking the kids' money and everything, is she still taking the board's money to get bodyguards?
Is Veronica still getting money from the board for bodyguards?
No.
No.
Oh, good. Okay, just checking.
All right. Thank you for that. And one more time, let me give out these numbers here to call up to the members of DESE. The Reverend Stanley Archie's number is 816-822-8516. That's 816-822-8516. And Peter Herschel. Here is 417-334-0142. That's 417-334-0142. And the vice president is Russell Thompson. His number is 573-442-4142. 4271. And it's critical that people make these phone calls, isn't it?
I think it's very critical, yes. They need to hear from us directly.
Absolutely. One more quick comment. Jean.
Hello?
Yes.
I was wondering, you know, we used to have more board members. Can a petition be started in which they go back to 12 board members? Do you think that is necessary?
Thanks for that question.
Well, you know, it was the state legislature that changed it down to 7 and actually created the situation for the mayor to come in and
that's
take
right.
over
that's
3 years
right.
ago. So that's something to go to the legislature.
And to increase the number of board members.
Yeah.
You know what? That might really be not a bad piece of legislation to push through. It really might not be a bad, given that what's going on right now, there might be a lot of people might be willing, legislators might be willing to consider that.
There might be.
Okay. Peter Downs, next week. Talk to you then. Okay, see you then. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown and the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Be back with me in the next hour. We're going to be talking about Barack Obama. Stay with me.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The military is looking into reports of an American helicopter crashing in Iraq. More from ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad.
ABC News has confirmed that a Marine CH-46 Sea-Night helicopter has gone down north of Baghdad. This chopper was apparently coming from Balad. If you know anything about choppers, this is the big chopper, the one with the two blades that you'll see in war zones at times. It has a four-person crew, but can carry up to about 14 soldiers or Marines in its payload. It's not clear how many people were in that chopper or if any of them survived this crash.
Defense Secretary Gates, meanwhile, is heading back to Capitol Hill today to answer more questions about the future of the U.S. role in Iraq. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Back for a second day of Capitol Hill testimony, Defense Secretary Robert Gates faces questions about whether the Iraqis are doing their part in combating violence in Baghdad. Republican Senator John Warner says there's reason for concern.
Clearly, the Iraqis showing up are far below the estimates, or significantly below the estimates, that we anticipated their participation would be.
With debate on a resolution opposing additional troops stalled in the Senate, Democratic leaders announced plans to force a vote in the House on the issue next week. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
And who is the suspect?
That's part of a 911 call to police in Orlando, Florida. This call resulted in the arrest of astronaut Lisa Nowak. She's charged with trying to murder a romantic rival. She is on her way back to Houston, expected to arrive at any time now, but she will not be spending much time at all, if any, at Mission Control. NASA has given Nowak, who was part of last year's Discovery mission, a 30-day leave. You're probably doing some of that this morning if you live anywhere from the Midwest to the Northeast. In addition to the brutal cold, there's also snow. Slippery roads have blamed for at least 11 deaths from Wisconsin to Kentucky. This is ABC News.
Credit card users, wake up. Do you realize the typical person who charges a $100 jacket ends up paying $212? That's because they don't pay off their debt. They let it ride. Credit card companies are making a mint off us, especially when the typical family carries a $13,000 balance from month to month. In a moment, how to deal with that debt.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now and have banks compete to give you 4 real home equity offers in just minutes. You can compare your offers and act on them immediately at LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win.
If credit card debt is taking you down, create a game plan. If you're thinking about borrowing against your home to pay off that debt, know this. You could cut your interest rate from 18% to a tax-deductible 5 or 6% and save yourself thousands. But most people who borrow against their homes to pay off credit cards go right back into debt. So create a realistic budget and stick with it.
See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Two gay rights groups weren't too satisfied with a candy bar ad that aired during the Super Bowl. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
The Snickers spot featuring two men eating a candy bar and ending up in an accidental lip lock may have been the kiss of death for the candy bar's cachet. The company pulled the ad after gay groups protested, saying it suggests it's not manly for two men to kiss. Adweek says it may hurt sales, since Snickers lovers might not like the Snickers they get at the checkout counter. The candy maker says it was meant to be funny, not to offend. After the kiss,
I think we just accidentally kissed. Quick, do something manly.
The two men purposely pull out their own chest hair. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Well, it's been said that all that a child needs to achieve is belief in him or herself. Two new studies say it's true. Both involved junior high students who were told that they could increase their level of intelligence. They outperformed those who were told their IQ was fixed. In both cases, those gaps widened over time. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's another WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, two sophomore boys from Rittenour High School were taken to a St. Louis hospital after being rescued from a frigid lake Tuesday night. The two were identified by witnesses as Michael Frankie Ho and Michael Throgmorton. Witnesses say the two were running across the frozen surface of the lake at Wild Acres Park on Midland Boulevard when they fell through the ice just before 6 p.m. Three other students on the scene contacted authorities. Police say the two boys clung to the edge of a fountain until Pattonville firefighters could rescue them. Both boys were conscious but showing signs of hypothermia, according to authorities. In St. Charles, a proposal for a sixth-floor condo building just south of St. Charles' historic downtown area has been dropped. Bright Star Development Monday withdrew its plans for the Katy Trail Lofts after months of opposition from businesses and residents. The 66-unit building would have been built on South Main Street, north of Barber Street in St. Charles. Bright Star administrators say they might resubmit the proposal but have no definite plans at this time. And a note from Jefferson City, Governor Matt Blunt is touting the results of a recent study by the Missouri Economic Research and Information Center that examined the widespread economic benefits of the biofuels industry in Missouri. The study analyzed the projected economic impact of the biofuels industry in Missouri from 2004 to 2013. According to the study, the industry creates on average 7,000 jobs for Missourians every year. By 2008, Missourians will see more than 600 jobs at an average wage of nearly $40,000. The industry will account for $542 million in new economic activity each year, the study says. Missouri currently has four operating farmer-owned ethanol plants in Craig, Macon, Malta Bend, and Ladonia. It's also home to three operational biodiesel plants in Bethel, Bunston, and Mexico. Governor Blunt says this century's family farmers will answer another noble calling in Fuel America. This study shows that renewable fuels will not only help reduce our dependence on foreign oil, but also create jobs and economic growth. That's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston reporting.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. That's north of Gravway. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain through West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight, and then again from Maryville Center through Mason. Look for slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge into 270. Look for slowdowns around that exchange. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is rolling well. Westbound 5570 from the 64 split into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for a slowdown there. Eastbound 44. Oh, let me see. McKenzie at Weber Road is a report of a water main leak. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, much colder, a 30% chance of light snow this afternoon, high around 20 this evening. Mostly cloudy, low around 10. Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s. Thursday evening, mostly clear in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight, then becoming mostly cloudy early in the morning with a low around 10. And Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny throughout the day, a high in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 15 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 13. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, 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 air. To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
seats. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'll call you right back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. America. America, America, America. Whew. America is in the midst of a swoon, if you will. In the midst of a seduction, if you will. And, you know, we've all been there. We've all been there. Takes you away from reason. Takes you away from logic. You no longer have an ability to see clearly. You in a swoon. You're being seduced. Some swoons are okay. Seduction is okay. But after a while, you got to open your eyes. And you got to see things for what they are. It's all, I know, as a woman of African descent, I know there is a hunger afoot. People want there to be somebody that deals with the issue of race and racism. And the history of this country has shown us that, you know, if we're going to have somebody that really honestly deals with it, it's probably going to be a person of African descent, a person of color. And that's just the way that history in this country has shown us that it is going to be confronted. I understand the hunger and the longing for that, but the reality of it is this. The question that we should be asking, is Barack Obama that person? Or are we just in the midst of a swoon? We're going to have that conversation. We're going to talk about Barack Obama with writer and author Paul Street. He's joining us in Chicago, Illinois. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
And I found to be true that everyday people, they lie to God too. So what makes you think that they won't lie to you? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is the number. Barack Obama is on the minds of many people. So much so, we see people like Barbara Streisand, who has always given to the Clintons, gave Bill Clinton so much money and so much time and attention, and she has said, you know what, I'm going to give equally to Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Barack Obama. I love the field of candidates that we have. We need to have a conversation about Barack. We need to do that. And we're going to this morning with Paul Street, writer, author, joining us from Chicago. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Very
cold up here.
Yeah. And it's cold for us babies down here in St. Louis, too.
Okay.
Odious Obama's Path to Hell? You wrote that?
Oh, well,
that.
You did. That's an older.
I know.
An older publication.
I know.
This book review I'm getting all this attention for. I think that title, in retrospect, I've even said that in print a little over the top. But, yeah, I did write that. It's a fairly strong criticism.
And what caused you, where did you begin with this? I mean, I love the way the article began with Martin Luther King. Could you talk to us about what Martin Luther King said about why he wasn't a politician?
Well, you know, I imagine we're going to get into some of them. I have some fairly substantive criticisms from the left of Obama's positions. But
right.
It's not like I don't think a lot of his positions make sense within the context of this winner-take-all, very heavily money-dominated system, which, of course, with a white majority electorate, So it's not like I don't think Obama says a lot of things that are in, that make calculating and practical sense within that reality. King was recruited to run for the presidency, I think, with Benjamin Spock as a vice president candidate, as a social justice and anti-war candidate in 1968, in advance of the 1968 election, and explicitly refused to do so for, among other reasons, because he had a sense that he would have to sacrifice too many of his strong moral positions on racial injustice, on social and class injustice, and on foreign policy in order to say the things that would enable him to get the campaign contributions and receive the white majority votes to actually be victorious. He didn't want to go to that space, and I believe King actually said, my job is to be the moral conscience of both parties and of the nation, not to be personally a pursuer of presidential power, political power. And he had a fair amount of Christian doctrine he could cite in defense of that position.
So in that article that you wrote in 2006, you were specifically articulating some of the concerns that you had about Barack Obama then, his position on the Patriot Act. Talk to us about that.
Well, he actually ended up voting to reauthorize that, which surprised a lot of people on the left, people in the civil rights communities, and people of the ACLU. Because he had established a bit of a reputation as a civil libertarian. I believe he's a member of the ACLU. I could be wrong on that, but I've always heard
he's
that.
Also an attorney with the ability to read and to deconstruct.
he was a professor of constitutional law,
yeah,
at the University of Chicago,
yeah,
for years. And, that was kind of a shot across the bow to make people think a little bit about where this guy's really coming from. Is he coming from a consistent moral position on the left side of the spectrum and deserving of embrace by progressives, or is he truly just playing the calculating game of saying the things he feels he needs to say to reach the mainstream and get elected? This is a very interesting moment for Obama publicly and nationally, because there's all this notoriety. He's almost an overnight rock star. It was really simply astonishing how quickly he moved into the spotlight, particularly with that keynote address. But actually, people are sort of waking up to the fact now that they really don't know a whole heck of a lot in a detailed way about him.
I'm telling you, people got seduced and they need to shake it off and figure out who is this person that they're with. And when you talked about his position on the Patriot Act in 2006, you also talked about his position on tort reform. Again, as a lawyer.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk in his latest book, Audacity of Power, and in his speeches about the cause of social and economic justice, and he sort of indirectly identifies himself with it and sort of indirectly refers to himself as a quote-unquote progressive, but took a very strange position on tort reform and was actually on the side of corporations seeking to make it more difficult for ordinary and poor people to recover damages that in many cases they really very much deserve and need to recover as sort of one vehicle of a response to malfeasance and wrongdoing and criminal conduct on the part of corporations, whether it be in product safety or various other areas.
And with respect to the bankruptcy, fast forward to 2006, Bankruptcy Act, he was in support of that also.
Well, that sort of went back and forth, and I think he ended up being on the right side on that, but then a debate came up later that would have capped credit card interest rate at 30%. I don't know about you, but I'm just constantly getting hustled by credit cards. And, there's these very usurious sorts of practices, and they sort of trap people into debt. And he took very strange positions on that. You know, one thing we need to do with all these candidates now is check out their campaign finance profiles and see who's giving them money. And more often than not, you find, contributions from Chase and, First National Bank and stuff like that. Some part of the explanation for positions like that.
So let's talk about the audacity of hope. Thoughts on Reclaiming the American Dream. Obama wrote this book in 2007, and you wrote an article on this, and I thought that one of the scariest parts of your article was the assessment that the so-called left and liberal are doing about, are making about this book. Talk to us about how the left is perceiving this book.
Well, if you look on, you can find some very critical reviews. There's a guy named Gray. In the last issue of The Progressive, it's fairly critical and in line with my review. You're referring to the piece I did on Black Agenda Report.
Yes, I am.
Which was previously on ZNet. A guy named Ted Glick did on ZNet, Left Zine, did a critical review. But when you get into places like The Nation, that weekly left liberal magazine, and you listen to people, for that matter, like Barbara Streisand, more elite center leftists, or even this Canadian rocker Neil Young, and just a whole bunch of sort of squishy left liberals, a fair amount of confusion. Some of which I think is born of the fact that options are so limited in the American electoral system. We have such a narrow spectrum, a winner-take-all, money-dominated type of electoral politics that makes it very hard for any voices on the left to be heard and to mount serious campaigns. And so there's a strong wish list. There's a strong feeling of a strong hope and desire that for someone that you can embrace that you think is really, truly on your side on issues, and it's often not really fully appropriate, and I think that's undoubtedly going on with Obama right now. And I think part of it is there's kind of interesting impact of just the simple fact that he's technically African-American. Lends itself to the notion that he must be really considerably progressive and to the left. And there is this real sincere desire that I think in some ways people might be ready to actually have an African-American person, if not this time, at some point in the not-so-distant future in the White House, which in and of itself would, on its own, would probably be a progressive thing to happen, right? So...
unless his name is Clarence Thomas.
Condoleezza
Rice.
Or presidential candidate.
Or Colin Powell. So let's talk about the book, The Audacity of Hope. In the Nation, the reviewer of the book said that just about all of Obama's positions are reasonable and progressive. And he says that Obama is the most intelligent, honest, and idealistic of the Democratic presidential candidates.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that. A lot of folks are thinking, even in the African-American community now, you hear talk about Edwards probably being the most idealistic candidate. Of course, we can't talk seriously about Dennis Kucinich, who is extremely idealistic and quite left. This guy, you're referring to George Scialaba.
That's correct.
And I was really amazed he included Obama's Audacity of Hope book, which I have renamed Audacious Deference to Power. In my book review, in a list of books, he did a group review of some of which are quite left. I won't go into all the titles of those particular monographs.
But I mean, but basically, yeah, let me throw a couple out there so that people get a sense of the types of books that he did list. The Hostile, David Sirota's Hostile Takeover, How Big Money and Corruption Conquered Our Government. Mark Green's Losing Our Democracy, How Bush, the Far Right, and Big Business Are Betraying Americans for Profit. So, 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy by Stephen Hill. So, I mean, we're talking about books in their title that you're clear about what their positions are. And now he's listing Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, in the same company as those books.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Sirota's book with the subtitle, How Big Money and Corruption Conquered Our Government, you can actually find in Audacity of Hope a sort of indirect reference by Obama to the need of candidates to rely on economic elites to fund their campaign as kind of a positive thing, the way he spins it, because he says it helps marginalize radical extremists.
And
who apparently refers to folks who somewhat militantly advocate things like peace and justice.
Paul, I need you to say that again because I think that is really such a underscoring of the manner or of the beliefs of Barack Obama and why people should really take a pause in their review of him?
Well, Barack Obama is always, he's very good at it and very sharp about it, triangulating. And always trying to set up these dichotomies and then push himself right down the center. So there's a section in Audacity of Hope where he's defending mainstream Democrats, many of whom are in the corporate-dominated Democratic Leadership Council, defending them against, kind of ridiculous Fox News far-right criticisms as being leftist, which, you know, I mean, I come from a perspective that it'd be nice if they were more leftist in the Democratic Party. And he crafts this paragraph where he says, the reliance on economic elites to fund campaigns tends to keep zealots and extremists at bay in the Democratic Party. Translated, which are people who advocate for peace and justice. That would include people like Martin Luther King Jr., who announced himself a Democratic Socialist by at least 1966.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the idea of economic elites doing anything progressive for, any progressive causes.
Right.
We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Street, writer, author, joining us from Chicago. We're talking about Barack Obama and his book, The Audacity of Hope. We will be back. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound McKenzie at Weber Road, look for a water main broke. Westbound 5570 from Tudor on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant Avenue. That accident's been cleared, but it may see some slow traffic there. Northbound 270 from 44 through Tesson, look for an accident cleared around Gravois, but there still be some delays there. Westbound 70 between North Hanley and 170, look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked. That's around 170. Eastbound 40 between Clayton and McKnight, and then again from Maryville Center through Mason, look for that traffic starting to ease up now. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79, that traffic's easing as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is rolling well into the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well at that ramp, and westbound 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies. Much colder, a 30% chance of light snow in the afternoon, high around 20. This evening, mostly cloudy, low around 10. Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, partly cloudy later in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy once again with a low around 10. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies, becoming partly sunny throughout the day with a high only in the mid-20s. Currently, we are sitting on 14 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 15 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
In 1990, Tim Burton created a character that touched the hearts of millions. Today, through the magic of Matthew Bourne, this character is back to make your heart soar. Edward Scissorhands, the classic film about the ultimate outsider, is now the world's most talked about theatrical dance sensation. The London Times gives it 4 stars, its highest honor. The Los Angeles Times calls it charming, inventive, and endearing. And the New York Times raves, just bring your eyes and ears and marvel at the inventions of Mr. Bourne's theatrical imagination. Edward Scissorhands, a gothic fairy tale, a moving love story, a dance spectacular for the entire family.
At the Fox, February 27th through March 11th in the U.S. Bank Broadway Series, presented by Dan St. Louis and sponsored by American Airlines. For tickets, call 314-534-1111.
prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. GNU, woof.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Paul Street. He's an author and writer joining us from Chicago, and we are deconstructing Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, Thoughts on Reclaiming the American Dream. And, Paul, I'd like to get to the point in your article that you talk about the way that Barack Obama has whitewashed history. You said that one of the statements that you make is that Obama is impressively committed to whitewashing the American past in accord with dominant national doctrine. What do you mean by that?
Well, I was quite taken aback. My doctorate is actually in history, and I was a little surprised how much Obama's concerned in his book and in other places with talking about history. I was very elite, let's put it that way, very white power elite friendly rendering of history in all kinds of different ways. There's a lot of examples that you could give, but he heaps a lot of praise, more than I would have expected from a allegedly left black politician, on white slave owner founders of the country. And there's a lot of interesting references to the founding values of the country, including self-reliance and hard work and free will, all of which Obama says contributed to the quote-unquote free, you know, glorious free market development of the country. Amazingly little reference, some sort of indirect reference, but not much, to the critical role of slavery, which is sort of the polar opposite of free will. You know, is one of the big key sources of the early American Republic's material and economic development. A lot of references to the Constitution as a great document of guaranteeing individual liberties to Americans, with real soft peddling of the contradictions in that document and the abolition, how the abolitionists talked about it. Yeah.
You say on page 97, Obama claims that Abraham Lincoln was unyielding in his opposition to enslavement.
I was really
what the heck? What?
Yeah, thereby deleting the fact that Lincoln really had to be shamed and sort of forced by military necessity into signing the Emancipation Proclamation. There's a real interesting literature on that. In fact, a book by Jane Doakes just came out and was reviewed in The Nation. Yeah, it's a very problematic statement. I know a little bit about where Obama's coming from, and that Lincoln was in fact a moral critic of slavery from probably the late 1840s on. But unyielding in his opposition to it is really an interesting statement for him to make, when we know from historical record, you know, about Frederick Douglass and other abolitionists.
Well,
getting very frustrated with him for not, you know, attacking it directly.
Let's move on to Woodrow Wilson, who was the first president to show a movie in the White House, and the movie happened to be Birth of a Nation, and he said, Birth of a Nation, the sad part, it's like writing history with a lightning bolt, the sad part of it is that is so true. What did he say about Woodrow Wilson?
He heaps praise on Woodrow Wilson, and Woodrow Wilson was simply astonishing racist. I mean, he would not invite black leaders to the White House. He fired African Americans working there. But he praises Wilson particularly in regard to his foreign policy. He's talking about the League of Nations and the 14 points, and he says that...
Wait a minute, and I want to give people the reference that are following along with this, because he's on page 298 in Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, he praises Woodrow Wilson for saying that, quote, it was in America's interest to encourage the self-determination of all peoples and provide the world a legal framework that would help avoid future conflicts.
Yeah, and this is problematic on numerous levels, but one of the more obvious ones is that Wilson ordered and oversaw brutal U.S. invasions of predominantly black Haiti and also the Dominican Republic, in which U.S. troops just murdered, destroyed, and reinstituted slavery, basically demolished the constitutional system, and did so all in accord with Wilson's Secretary of State Robert Lansing's stated belief that people of African background were devoid of capacity for democracy. Complete violation of self-determination, deeply informed by racism in that particular case, and in other ones too.
And the Secretary of State went on to say, and they also, African people possess an inherent tendency to revert to savagery and cast aside the shackles of civilization which are known irksome to their physical nature. That was Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of State.
Yeah, that was his Condoleezza Rice.
That was his Condoleezza Rice.
Robert Lansing. And that's very reflective of the social Darwinian sentiments of that time, which you know, those same kind of things have been articulated about Native Americans and were being articulated about Asians and so forth. Just, really, really quite toxic. The praise he heaps on Wilson is interesting, but really on U.S. foreign policymakers up to this day. And taking much more seriously than any left or progressive would the notion that that the motivating ideal behind U.S. foreign policy, including even the transparently imperialist oil occupation of Iraq, is to export democracy.
But that's racism. That's just another form of racism wrapped up in foreign policy and defended with the D word, democracy.
Yeah, I would happen to agree with that. But Obama there and in other cases has been over backwards to say that the occupation of Iraq was carried out with the best of intentions. And that it is a misguided attempt to impose democracy through the barrel of a gun, whereas most of the human race, and certainly the left, even in the United States, sees it as a petroleum-motivated power grab. It's using democracy pretty much as a cover phrase invented in the wake of the obviousness of the absence of any weapons of mass destruction, the original pretext. Yeah.
Well, and let's move on to the color issue.
Okay,
because there's a title simply entitled, or a chapter entitled, Race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is Barack Obama's understanding of race in America?
Well, you know, to his credit, Obama, and he did do years of work as a grassroots organizer in South Side of Chicago, he does seem to suggest that he thinks white America is wrong in his belief that racism is completely over as a phenomenon. But he's very much on the middle on this, as on all issues. You know, Obama had to be shamed off the Democratic Leadership Council by black commentator, a left internet design, years ago, and the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council...
That's Glenn Ford. We love Glenn Ford.
Oh, great. Yeah, and Glenn and also Bruce Dixon, they had to shame him off of that. And one of their charter missions at the DLC is precisely to downplay race as an issue in the country. Obama sort of bends over backwards, as far as I can tell, in this book, as in other places, to say that, you know, whites are just, their deep reservoir of guilt over this issue is, for better or worse, he says, is just plain exhausted.
And there's many other things to worry about.
Let me
read the exact quote in the page for people so that the people can go to this. Page 247. White guilt has largely exhausted itself in America, as even the most fair-minded whites tend to push back against suggestions of racial victimization and racial claims based on the history of racial discrimination in this country. What does that mean?
That means that white folks just aren't willing to deal with this stuff anymore, and they've got their own hassles, and they just don't believe it, and they believe their race is over as an issue because they see Oprah on television, and now they see me running for president.
We're done with that.
They don't want to hear about it. But the line that got me is where Obama said that what ails working and middle-class blacks is not fundamentally different from what ails their white counterparts, and that stuck in my craw because I spent 5 years as a research director at the Chicago Urban League between 2000 and 2005 just detailing a relentless litany of very specifically racial obstacles to black advancement, and not just for poor blacks.
Irrespective of income. Irrespective.
Very much alive and well, whether you're talking about how the real estate market works, how the labor market works, how the criminal justice system works.
How about how your doctor works? The treatment that you get offered as a person of African descent, irrespective of the insurance that you have.
Yeah, there was a test run on that just 2 years ago that was written up in the New York Times where they've held all things equal, like you always do in testing studies, and black middle-aged males reporting heart trouble could not actually get an EKG and get looked at. They were sort of told to take an aspirin and go home.
There you go.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
So white guilt has largely exhausted itself in America. So what's the strategy? What's the triangulation behind those types of comments?
Well, that's consultancy-driven to some extent. You know, Obama is extremely sharp politician, knows exactly what he's doing, has very sharp people working for him, I'm quite sure, and, you know, dealing with the fact that majority of the population is suburban, still a white majority nation, and the broader cultural context of race denial is deeply entrenched in this country in this post-civil rights era, and he's kind of covering his rear end right there politically to make sure that he doesn't come across in a way that frightens Caucasian voters in this allegedly colorblind era, this post-civil rights era that we're living in. And it's not as if that might not be astute at a certain level if your goal is to be elected.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Paul Street. He's a writer and an author joining us from Chicago. We are deconstructing Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope. Indeed. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Where else? Indeed. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing that you need to make your house a home. Get on down to Sears, folks, right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Now you can experience the trifecta of shopping. That's right. You get the great location. You get the great prices. And you get the great customer service. Get on down to Sears and tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is
decent guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm having a conversation this morning with Paul Street. He's a writer and an author joining us from Chicago. He has written a column, Obama's Audacious Deference. This is about Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, Thoughts on Reclaiming the American Dream. And, Paul, one of the things that you note in your assessment of Obama's book, you say that Obama claims that the 1960s New Left expressed the same self-indulgent, quote, more absolutism that animated the New Right. And that's on pages 26 to 33. What should we take out of that statement?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but that's an effort. Obama does a fair amount in this book to distance himself from the actual left. And accusing them of the same sort of moral absolutism that we associate with people like Newt Gingrich and Ronald Reagan and the far right is one of his devices for doing that. I consider Martin Luther King Jr. to have been part of the New Left and to have been a part of the critique of empire and inequality in the 1960s. And I'd sort of like to ask him if he includes people like Frederick Douglass and Martin King and others in that group of sort of refers to as unrealistic moral absolutists and zealots. Well, people who consistently advocated peace and justice, yeah.
Right, or anti-war.
Absolutely.
Or women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
the people who thought the Vietnam War and also who think the Iraq War were not simply strategic blunders, but were actually imperial crimes, which is a feeling I have about both actions.
So he's saying that the voices that of dissent that we heard in the 60s, or that were heard in the 60s, is the same thing that we heard from Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. You hear that in this kind of centrist community. You hear that a lot. Bush is really kind of a radical, you know, and so it's a very calculated kind of device, and it's a way of blaming the 60s for what happened afterwards. Actually, there's a whole literature on that, particularly directed at Black Power advocates and ghetto uprisings in that period, but also long hair and counterculture and rebels and all that, and they really needed the middle and frighten the people, and now I'm going to come right down that middle and reassure you everything's going to be okay.
Can we look at the people that Barack Obama associates himself with in the Democratic Party and get a read on the type of policies and practices?
Well, he attached himself very quickly to the most reactionary Democrat in the Senate, Joe Lieberman, who he claims was assigned to him as his mentor, but we know otherwise. And, of course, that is related to a very reactionary position, almost always in defense of Israel, which is widespread in the Democratic Party as a whole.
And where is Obama on Israel?
He'll never say anything critical of them. It just won't happen, or at least at the most marginally. So apartheid against Palestinians is going to get a free pass, as far as I can tell.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Alfred, you have a question for my guest, Paul Street.
Yeah, I have a couple of them there. One of them is way out there. Yeah, I want to ask him,
why they couldn't find anybody in Illinois to run against Obama. They had to go get Alan Keith. They would have somebody go run against him, and then, boom, he would drop out. That's my first question. The second question, this might be way out. Do you think that the Republicans is kind of behind Obama, pushing him out in front because he's moving too fast? And we know, I don't think so, that he's going to be elected or run for president in order to get the black vote mad and say, well, I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to vote because they knocked Obama out.
Thanks for your question.
Obama's been very lucky in the last politics. He's about the luckiest man I've ever seen.
Oh.
He didn't have any serious opponents.
He didn't.
Some of that has to do with, you know, why they ended up with this genuine nutcase, Alan Keyes, running against him. The Republican Party in Illinois is just plain dysfunctional and has been for a while. And that's sort of a complicated issue in and of itself. And of course, they're completely shut out, by and large, of the Chicago metropolitan area, which is sort of a one-party state.
Kind of like the city of St. Louis is largely a Democratic city.
Yeah, and it's a daily machine up here. Of course, Obama's close to daily and has endorsed daily in his reelection efforts coming up this spring. And so there wasn't much. They'd had a corruption crisis connected with Governor Ryan that the Republican Party had. So they just had all kinds of issues and weren't going to run a serious campaign. I mean, Republicans behind Obama, or I'm not quite sure where the caller was going with all of that. But one interesting impact of Obama declaring could be to push the Democratic candidate with the most money, Hillary, a little bit to the right, insofar as people think he's going to automatically lock up the black vote, which is the leftmost vote in the Democratic Party and in the country. Though some interesting reports are out in the New York Times recently suggesting that blacks are not anywhere near as lined up behind Obama as people assume, so, which is interesting. In fact, Hillary Clinton was polling ahead of Obama among some African Americans.
And that probably has more to do with Bill Clinton than it has to do with Hillary Clinton.
I imagine that's true.
You know,
because her positions are to the right of Obama's domestically and in foreign policy.
And so it's going to be very interesting. I think that it's going to be very interesting for America. You talked about the possibility of America electing a person of African descent into the presidency or into these positions. I don't think it's going to happen. My personal view is that America is not going to do that. America is not ready to elect a woman, I don't think.
Well, that's an argument for Dennis Kucinich, I guess. Glenn Ford and Bruce Dixon did a piece arguing that Dennis Kucinich was actually the blackest presidential candidate in the 2008 race.
And I don't disagree with hardly anything that they say. So
right.
You know, and when you look at the policies, I mean, you look at John Edwards and his relationship with Israel. I read a speech that he gave not too long ago, and it chilled me to the bone. It absolutely chilled me to the bone. And getting back to Obama, and chilling to the bone reminded me of that, is Obama's position on the preemptive strike. I mean, talk to us about that.
Well, he has refused to take a first strike nuclear buster-busting attack on Iran off the table. He said that repeatedly. I refuse to take that off of the table, so he could be on board with an escalation of the failed foreign policy in the Middle East.
And what do we make of that as being a progressive or being a progressive?
We take that as being a really reactionary and not progressive at all. I was taken aback in the Audacity book by the critical references to developing nations that think it might be in their interest to take an independent path and follow their own course of development outside the supervision of the United States. And he sort of argues that that's sort of inherently dysfunctional and anti-democratic and guaranteed to fail. And people really ought to just stay loyal out there and take their direction on what they're going to do. He criticizes Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, where I think some remarkably progressive and interesting and wonderful things are happening. He singles him out as an example of what not to do.
How different is he than a Harold Ford in terms of the policies that he's taking?
Well, he actually could be shamed off of the DLC, and I don't think Harold Ford ever was.
Well, no, he got a hookup. He's now in charge of the DLC.
Oh, he's in charge. Harold Ford was really more aggressively right-wing. That may reflect a regional politics, too, that he was in Tennessee, after all. I suspect not much different. I suspect the differences are... My guess would be Obama is probably a... operating at a higher level of intelligence and calculation than someone like Ford. I mean, Obama is just, he's a former law review editor of the Harvard Law Review, and was operating in a different regional political framework, which was a little bit left of Tennessee. He was really in a blue state area.
But when you strip away the regional differences and you strip away the ability to articulate their positions, there's not a whole lot of sunlight, is there, between the two of them?
Yeah, it's the same syndrome. I think you're right.
Paul Street, writer, author. Where can people get your column, see what you've done?
Well, this piece on... a lot of my writing is on ZNet, www.zmag.org. The review of Obama's book was at Black Agenda Report, www.blackagendareport.com. Wonderful weekly.
Oh, it's the best.
Right.
The best.
So those are... And also I've done a piece in the latest print Z Magazine called The Obama Illusion, which is in February 2007, Z Magazine, which is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders and places like that.
Excellent. Paul Street, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Absolutely. It was great.
Take care now.
You bet.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour to talk about, remember when the gas prices went down right before the election? Remember how we said that was gas manipulation? Well, we're going to talk about the evidence of that. Stay with me.
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air from the brothers. How can you sit there?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, Japan. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Lisa Nowak is back in Houston with a little something she didn't have when she left, an ankle monitor. The astronaut is charged with attempted murder, and she's on leave from her job.
We do not yet have details of what sort of medical and psychological help that Lisa Marie Nowak may be receiving. We do understand that she will be wearing an ankle bracelet, but she will be allowed to live at home. She'll be allowed to take care of her three children. But as far as NASA is concerned, her wings have been clipped. Her flying status is no longer active, and she's on 30-day review.
ABC's Mike von Fremd at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The military is looking into the crash of a Marine helicopter, a big C-46 chopper, which went down not far from Baghdad. Major General William Caldwell, a spokesman for U.S. troops in Iraq.
It'd be probably inappropriate for me to talk about whether or not there are not casualties. The QRF is on, the Quick Reaction Force is on site at the helicopter at this point.
There's no word yet of any casualties. First, brutal cold, and now snow. No let-up in sight to the deep freeze that's gripped the Midwest and the Northeast. Hundreds of flights have been canceled. Many schools are closed, and driving is tricky at best. At least 11 deaths are blamed on the cold. The Ku Klux Klan may be making a comeback. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has more on a report by the Jewish Anti-Defamation League.
Al Hilmer, white power!
The Klan, says the Anti-Defamation League, is reemerging around a number of rallying points.
One of the rallying points has been the immigration issue.
Andy Rosencrantz in the ADF Florida office says the Klan also has a new and insidious way to spread its message.
The Internet.
Welcome to this week's edition of This Is the Klan.
The KKK is producing webcasts, has Internet sites and search engines, which Rosencrantz calls
Google of hate.
The ADL says the reemergence of the Klan is surprising and troubling. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
This is ABC News. Credit card users, wake up. Do you realize the typical person who charges a $100 jacket ends up paying $212? That's because they don't pay off their debt. They let it ride. Credit card companies are making a mint off us, especially when the typical family carries a $13,000 balance from month to month. In a moment, how to deal with that debt.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now and have banks compete to give you four real home equity offers in just minutes. You can compare your offers and act on them immediately at LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win.
If credit card debt is taking you down, create a game plan. If you're thinking about borrowing against your home to pay off that debt, know this. You could cut your interest rate from 18% to a tax-deductible 5 or 6% and save yourself thousands. But most people who borrow against their homes to pay off credit cards go right back into debt. So create a realistic budget and stick with it.
See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
So you're still not watching enough movies at home? Amazon.com and TiVo are trying something new. Here's ABC's Gil Gross.
There have been a number of introductions lately of ways to have movies downloaded to your home. The problem has been they go to your computer, not your TV. Now Amazon.com and TiVo are starting to test a service that delivers movies right to your TiVo, where it would show up in the menu as another choice of something to watch right on your television. Unlike the new Apple TV box, which will cost around $300, people who already have a TiVo would only pay for the film. No added hardware. Also doesn't have to take up hard drive space. Once you own it, you can download as often as you want to see it. TiVo's always had a hard time making money. They hope this will change that. Gil Gross, ABC News.
If you're a gamer, this is news that you are going to want to hear. Researchers at the University of Rochester found something that video games are good for. They're very good for your eyes. They say playing action games for a few hours a day over the course of a month improved participants' vision by about 20%. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In Wentzville, residents would likely be charged about $1 per month to fund a proposed city-run stormwater management utility. Wentzville officials say for commercial properties, the rate for the fee would be based on the area of pavement or buildings on the property. The $1 fee would cover operation and maintenance of the stormwater utility. A possible $2.90 fee would also include capital improvement projects for the utility. There's no word on when the Wentzville alderman might vote on the proposal. In Illinois, students at O'Fallon High School found a bobcat in front of their building Monday. The big cat was in a bush near a covered walkway being used by students despite the cold weather. Teachers at O'Fallon say students were less than 20 feet away from the bobcat, which eventually ran away on its own. No one was injured in that incident. And a sports note for this hour, in men's college hoops, the St. Louis Billikens travel to Xavier for a 7 p.m. tip-off tonight. The Billikens then have a week off before heading to Rhode Island for a Valentine's Day meeting. The Bills scratched out a pair of A-10 wins last week, including their first league win on the road after dropping a narrow 58-59 decision at Houston Monday. The Billikens scored a 73-62 win at St. Joseph's Thursday. Then at Scott Trade Center Saturday, SLU knocked off A-10 co-leader George Washington 63-53. After sweeping the Musketeers last season, SLU posted a 76-65 victory over Xavier earlier this season at Scott Trade Center. Xavier comes into the matchup 16-7 overall and 6-3 in the A-10, putting them in a three-way tie for third place. After dropping a narrow 93-91 decision at Duquesne last Wednesday, the Musketeers rebounded with a 91-57 shellacking of Charlotte Saturday. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Southbound McKenzie Road at Weber Road, there's a report of water main break. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for an accident. It's been cleared. It's an earlier accident. You can expect some delays, but it looks like everything is on the move up there. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and 44, look for an accident. It's cleared. It's north of Gravelly Road. Westbound 5570 from Tudor into the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's on the move. West, eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason, and then again from Clayton Morrison into McKnight. Look for some traffic easing up now. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79 looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well in the landing. Northbound Route 3, no problems reported at the top of that ramp. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, much colder, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of light snow this afternoon, high around 20. For this evening, mostly cloudy, low around 10. For Thursday, partly sunny, high in the upper 20s. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy throughout the night, then becoming partly cloudy, then mostly cloudy again by morning with a low around 10. Friday, continued clouds in the morning, then partly sunny by the afternoon, high in the mid-20s. Currently at the studios of AM 920, we have 14 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 13 degrees and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. Take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
Give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
That not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
dignity. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free me, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We're supposed to have a conversation with the folks from Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights to talk about Exxon's record profits. Also show that they took less profit in the run-up to the election. We hope to hear from them after this break. Hope to have a conversation with the folks from Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. My name is Liz Brown. Right now, as we speak, going on in the Board of Aldermen in the City of St. Louis is a very important issue. It's a very, very, very important issue. Francis Slay is trying to do some more stuff under the cover of darkness. Right now, he's trying to get an emergency vote. They want to suspend the rules to get an emergency vote on the Ballpark Village. What is the Ballpark Village? Let me just tell you, it's $100 million worth of stuff. Remember how they were supposed to, when we gave them that, or when Francis Slay went and took it and gave them that ballpark deal, they were supposed to give us, those billion-dollar owners were supposed to give us this Ballpark Village. How is that going to cost us $100 million to get that kind of a gift? That's a heck of a gift. Baby, here it is. Just give me a check for $100 million. Happy birthday. Huh? Huh? Right now, at the Board of Aldermen, there are three things that are supposed to happen today. One, the Committee on HUDs are supposed to vote this out of committee. Two, E&A is supposed to vote this into the Board of Aldermen. And three, 20 alder people are supposed to vote to suspend the rules in order to vote for this on Friday. I've talked to black alder people. Quincy Troop has called the show. I've talked to Lewis Reed. I've talked to Greg Carter. I've talked to alder people out here. And people are saying, we haven't had a chance to read this. How on earth can we be supportive of this when we haven't even read it? And, oh, what is there to read? Over 200 pages worth of stuff. And they're bringing new stuff down to the board right now. As we speak, they're bringing new stuff down to the board, new additions to the board. Does this sound like the Patriot Act? How'd that work out for us? My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
St. Louis, this is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New two-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Here's a heads up. There will be a public forum on Saturday from 10:30 to 12 at Northwest High School. That's 5140 Riverview Boulevard in St. Louis. Why? St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners Town Forum, community forum. You don't get a chance to ask questions at the regular police commission meetings. Why? Because that's how they roll. They don't want to hear from you. You need to be at this meeting. There's a lot of questions that you need to ask these police, this police board, these folks. There's a lot you need to ask them. And that's this Saturday at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. I believe Irene J. Smith is going to be on the panel that's asking the questions, too. So, and State Representative Connie Johnson is putting this together. So you all need to be down there on Saturday from 10:30 to 12 o'clock at Northwest High School in their auditorium. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business, much business, much business to talk about. Don't forget on Friday, our brand new addition to the Wake Up Call, Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. We're going to talk about in that show the things that we need to get rid of, and the things that we need to get with it. Get rid of the things we need to throw away and the things we need to replace them with. Get up, get to me. So that's on Friday, every Friday at 9 o'clock. Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. I'm Liz Brown. That's put it on your calendar. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious. When we look at the things that are happening in our community, when we look at the things that are happening all over this world, we see parallels. In many respects, politics is no different than politics in St. Louis, politics in Miami, politics in Atlanta, politics in Hope, Arkansas. You see the same things. You see the same things. But I wanna share with you, and I guess maybe this is maybe the one of the better descriptions of where we are. Maybe this is one of the better descriptions of why we stand where we stand and take the stances that we take. Because when you look at the politics all over this country, we see some parallels. And Martin Luther King made decisions not to involve himself into the politics of this country for the reasons that I think many of us instinctively stand where we stand to fight the battles that need to be fought because of what you lose when you involve yourself in politics. Check this out. In the spring of 1967, and Paul Street wrote this, and I think it's just profound to talk about at this point. When in the spring of 1967, when he went after he went public with his principled, strong and principled opposition to the Vietnam War, Reverend Martin Luther King was approached by liberal and left political folks. Please, please, please run for office. Run for the United States presidency. King turned those folks down, saying that he preferred to think of himself as, quote, one trying desperately to be the conscience of all political parties rather than being a political candidate. I've never thought of myself as a politician. I mean, the minute that Martin Luther King threw his hat into the American winner-take-all presidential race, he knew. He would be encouraged to compromise his fundamentally moral message against racism, against social inequality, and militarism. He knew that he would have to compromise his left positions. I mean, he talked about the concentration of African poverty and class oppression in the quote-unquote liberal urban North. Martin Luther King said, boy, Selma, Alabama can take some lessons on racism by visiting Chicago. Chicago has a thing or two to teach about what racism is. So Martin Luther King understood that the struggle had shifted from civil rights to human rights, involving a struggle for genuine equality that demands a radical redistribution of economic and political power. What do you do when you understand that we're talking about a radical redistribution of economic and political power? That's what standing on the outside of these politics, that's what you're trying to force the politicians to do, to redistribute economic and political power. Right now in the city of St. Louis, right now, there's an attempt to keep you from your task. Francis Slay, the guy that sits in the mayor's office, wants an emergency piece of legislation passed, $100 million, quick, fast, in a hurry, and in a hurry legislation passed to give the Cardinals their ballpark village on our tab. He's asking for a suspension of the rules so that they can vote on this on Friday. This legislation, this almost 300-page legislation, was introduced at the end of January. It is now March 7th, and they're bringing in new amendments to it right now as we speak, because they call for an emergency meeting of HUD today. They need HUD to vote the measure out. They need Darlene Green, Shrewsbury, and Slay to vote on some of the components of it. And then they need a vote by the Board of Aldermen, an emergency vote that would suspend the rules, that would allow this to be voted on Friday. Your job, ladies and gentlemen, is to demand a radical redistribution of economic and political power. You need to call your older people, and you need to tell them, oh, heck no, you bet not vote for the suspension of the rules. You haven't even read this stuff. It's $100 million deal. Who do you suppose has read it? You think Francis has read it? He wrote it. You think Shrewsbury has read it? Oh, yeah. I mean, what about the possibility of Shrewsbury getting money from these contractors for his reelection campaign if he fast-tracks this piece of legislation? Y'all need to pay attention. You need to pick up your phones and you need to make some phone calls right now, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because this stuff is real. This stuff is real. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown. Inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. How you feeling?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Were you just blessed with the gift that you got, or did you just read a lot of books? Or what? How did you get so dynamic? Well, I'm serious. I want to know that because you and everybody else out there, I bet they want to say, is it just natural? Did you read? Or is it, how? Just say that, then I got a comment behind that.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, I don't understand what you're saying.
I mean, you're on the point, Liz. You know, I mean, I don't know how to put it. You're just down with it. You know what to do. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'll give you an example. Okay. What you did when you called it 1,200 strong, right now, Slay is shaking in his boots so bad and so scared that the money that he stole from the school board, what he's going to do now, he's saying to himself, oh, my God, now on the 15th, she's got more busloads coming. He's got to do something quickly to get rid of that money for the villa.
You have to ask yourself.
Why we got a bonus meeting? Why we got it?
You have
because
to ask
yourself. The people from Liz Brown Show are going up there on them buses. We're going to take turns going. The 1,200 strong did it. He's shaking in his boots, and this is all of a sudden. You can't, Liz. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. He is scared as crap. Why is he calling an emergency meeting? Because of the money that's missing from the school board, he's going to dump it. Now, I don't know what plan he's got, but I'm guessing he's going to dump that money in Villa, so at least that'll be gone.
We're talking about the $100 million piece of legislation that Francis Lay has said, oh, we're voting on this today.
Today. Come on now.
Today. We're going to suspend the rules and we're going to make it happen today. And people need to be down there because this is outrageous. How are we going to have a $100 million decision made when our legislators haven't had an opportunity to read any of this stuff? It cannot be done. Folks need to call down there.
I tell you what, when the villa's done, go down there and see how many of us, people that look like me and you live there.
Not right now.
Thank you,
Thank you so much, Ron. 1-877-920-WGNU. We talked about on the wake-up call back prior to the election. We talked about this. Why are gasoline prices going down? Why are gasoline prices going down? When they had such a huge run-up and ExxonMobil had these record quarterly profits. Why are gas prices now going down right before this election, huh? Well, the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights has looked into this, and they released a press report entitled Exxon Record Profits Also Show the Company Took Less Profit in the Run-Up to the Election. Huh. We're going to talk to the research director for the Foundation for Taxpayers and Consumers' Rights in Santa Monica, California, Judy Dugan. Judy, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm outstanding. Huh. Well, you know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, is it a duck, Judy?
We think so. We believe that the oil companies were taking tremendous heat in Congress. You recall those $3 and $3-plus gasoline prices.
Absolutely.
Last summer, and the immense profits, the quarterly profits, were breaking all records for the oil companies, and there was a lot of heat coming out of Congress at the time. And from the White House, even, which was pretty unusual in terms of oil companies. And all of a sudden, you know, oil prices turned down a little, and gasoline prices turned down a lot. And the meaning of that is that refiners and oil companies were taking less profit all of a sudden in order to get gasoline prices down. And this continued right up until Election Day.
How'd that work out for them, Judy?
Well, it worked out just fine because they still made record yearly profits. They've made pretty much record profits every year for the last 4 to 5 years, depending on the company.
So am I hearing you say that there isn't any natural occurrence that could explain the price of oil going down a little bit and the price of gasoline going down a lot during that period of time?
Well, one of the things that did happen, it wasn't natural, but what did happen is that refiners started producing, this is after the summer, which is unusual, more gasoline through their refineries than they had previously. You know, price is in part a function of supply. And all of a sudden, they were pushing out more gasoline instead of less.
Why?
After the summer driving season, that helps bring the price down.
Now, who makes the decision to pump more gas? I mean, to pump more oil and to...
That's an executive decision. Most of the refineries in this country are owned by the large oil companies. There are some independents, but the preponderance of them are owned by people like Exxon and Shell and Chevron. And that's a decision where they say, well, let's run the refineries at a higher level. I mean, it's probably, they'll explain it as something terrifically complicated, but it's what they decide.
So gas prices went down because a phone call was made.
They don't even need to do that.
They don't even need to make a phone call?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about the oil companies is there's so few of them that they all know each other's business.
So they roll over in bed and say, we're going to lower prices.
We know what's good for all of us.
Now, Judy, is this, if this happened like that, is that illegal?
Well, probably not.
Huh?
There's no, under current antitrust law, collusion, as it's defined by the law, requires people to conspire. And because the oil industry, there are so few players, because it's so concentrated, it's really an oligopoly, meaning that they operate for mutual benefit. without having to overtly collude, to go to some smoky back room with cigars and talk it over. None of that is necessary.
And if they're lowering prices, is that collusion, or is that if you're not raising prices to make more money, if you're lowering prices, is that considered within the framework of the law?
Well, acting in concert,
irrespective of whether you gain or you lose money.
Well, yeah, but the point is, there's no collusion because there's probably no gathering to talk it over. No phone call needs to be made. Each of them knows how much the others has in storage. Each of them knows how much the others are importing and exporting, because this is all, they share these facilities, the transport facilities, the storage facilities. So they all know who's doing what. And just as the prices went up beyond any reasonable increase that could be accounted for by the price of oil, so it went down by any reasonable amount that could be accounted for by the price of oil.
Let me get to another caller here. Carphone, you have a question for my guest, Judy Dugan.
Yeah, one of the things that bothers me about the whole gasoline situation is that overnight the gasoline around St. Louis will pop up 20 to 25, 30 cents a gallon overnight. And then over a period of about 2 to 3 weeks, it'll trickle down like a penny here, a penny there, 2 cents there, and back down to maybe that lowest price, which it got down to $1.93 in some places here in St. Louis. But what gets me is, if it can pop up 20 to 30 cents, why can't it pop down 20 to 30 cents instead of trickling down?
Thanks for your question.
Well, that's a good question, and it's something that everybody looks at. And the slogan for gasoline prices is up fast and down slow. To some degree, I think station owners want to get back some of the money they may have lost while they were paying more for crude oil, for their refined product, for their gasoline. But it's just an axiom of the oil industry that your gasoline prices will shoot up the minute there's a tiny bump in crude oil prices, and then it'll take them, as your caller said, weeks to come down. There's no law against it. They can do it, so they do it.
So when we look at these annual profits of Exxon and Shell, and we look at the fact that the prices went down during the run-up to the election, what conclusion can we draw about what the defense of the $3 a gallon gas was?
Well, the oil company said, well, it's crude oil prices. Well, it's summer additives, you know, ethanol and clean air additives. Well, it's the shortage of refining capacity because environmentalists won't let us build any refineries.
Wasn't there a we shut them down for cleaning, too? Wasn't there?
Right. But the point is, all of these excuses are just that, excuses. There were no refinery emergencies throughout this whole year. There were no giant refinery disasters of the type that actually could affect prices. Taking it down for cleaning is a voluntary decision. And often it's an excuse just to kind of restrict supply a little. So there was no reason for prices to go as high as they did. Yes, oil prices went up. But if this was like your dry cleaners competing against one another, oil companies would have taken a little less profit. When oil prices went up, they would have sold the gasoline at a higher price, but not nearly as high as it got, in order to compete for your business. But the fact that gas prices went up so much over the rise in crude oil, and they went up across the board everywhere with every company, shows how little competition there is in this business.
George Bush promised in his State of the Union to double the size of the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserves. What happened when he did that?
Oh, that was an enormous gift to the oil company.
How so?
Two things. One, this stuff doesn't just come into the Strategic Reserve. They have to buy it on the open market from the same oil companies.
So wait a minute, Judy. Are you saying that after Exxon and Shell and all of them posted these record profits?
Exactly.
George Bush gave them another gift?
The gift is that they're going to buy 875 million barrels of oil over 20 years from these same oil companies. Now, not only does this directly profit the oil companies, but it takes some supply off the market, which tends to raise the price both of oil and gasoline. Isn't that nice of it?
So they got two dozen roses instead
right.
of one.
Yes, indeed. They did. And it's I think it's something that Congress may now have something to say about.
Now, what price are we obligated to purchase this oil from these from the only people in town that are selling it?
Well, the government decides when to buy it, and the oil companies decide the price. I mean, they can buy it when maybe the price isn't at the very top of the market, but the government can't tell the oil companies what price they want to pay.
So, Judy, what can be done with this information about they had profits anyway, they lowered the prices during the election? What can be done about that?
Congress is already trying to do some things, which are good, which is, you know, get back royalty money that was never paid by the oil companies, renegotiate some contracts that were an immense loss for the government, to get back some of the taxes that these guys should be paying, and to take back some of the tax breaks that they were given for no decent reason, given the prices that they're making now.
Given the profits that they're making.
Right, right. And what we would like to see at the foundation where I work, Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, it's a lot more transparency in the oil business. There's so much you can't know directly about what oil companies are doing, because the way they report their finances tends to just sort of conglomerate everything. It's very hard to tell what any one company is doing. The other one is to get some regulation of refinery profits, either at the state level or the national level. You can't do without gasoline.
And where can people get a hold of you, Foundation for Taxpayers and Consumer Rights?
Well, our website is www.consumerwatchdog.org, and they can reach me at judy@consumerwatchdog.org.
Judy Dugan, Research Director for the Foundation for Taxpayers and Consumer Rights. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Liz, thank you so much.
Take care now. Thanks for getting up so early.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on down to Sears. That's right. Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. They have every single thing that you need. You know, the new color this season for your kitchen is white, and they have these fabulous high-end refrigerators there to make your kitchen, when you do that remodeling job, look stupendous. Get on down to Sears and tell them Liz Brown told you to.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy.
Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400, get to me. We have an amazing thing happening right now in the city of St. Louis as we speak. It's 9:49. There's a meeting that's going on right now, the HUD committee meeting. Why is that important? They're getting ready to. Francis Clay is coming to the HUD, and so is the man who wants to be reelected, Jim Shrewsbury. He's coming to the HUD committee and saying, look, we got to push through this $100 million deal, this $100 million ballpark village. No, y'all don't have time to read it. It's over almost 300 pages worth of documents. And, yes, we're just giving some of them to you right now. But vote yes, 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 vote yes for this $100 million ballpark village. The people haven't had a chance to read it. The people don't know what's in it. But vote yes, vote yes, vote yes, and suspend the rules so we can vote this thing through on Friday. Rush, 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 rush. Yeah, you just got it at the end of January, the last week in January. Yeah, it's just the 7th. February right now, but vote yes, vote yes, vote yes, vote yes, vote yes on this stadium deal. That's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now. Your alderperson is being pressured, is being directed by Francis Slay and Jim Shrewsbury. Ask yourself if Jim Shrewsbury deserves to be reelected on this and this alone. How dare you come to legislators who haven't had a chance to dissect, to make the phone calls, to do the research on whether this $100 million obligation to the city of St. Louis is worth it. Jim Shrewsbury is right up there leading the charge on this. Nobody's had a chance to research this. They just got it the end of the last week in January. It's just now February 7th. They've had it for 2 weeks. 200 pages worth of documents on a $100 million proposal. And Francis Slay and Jim Shrewsbury is saying, suspend the rules. Let us vote on this on Friday. You need to contact your legislator and say, absolutely not. Have you lost your mind? There's no way that you could know enough about this right now. I've heard about the Patriot Act. I know what happened with the Patriot Act. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, Mary.
Liz, do you think there's a connection with him in such a rush about passing this new bill? It's because of some of this problem that when they're trying to get this petition signed, when I called you on that yesterday about the petition to audit the city on how they're spending the money, do you think there's a connection with that while he's in a rush as well?
Okay, and let me let the audience know what we're talking about. You're talking about Francis Slay, and you're asking the question. There is a petition right now that is almost completed that would ask the state to audit the city of St. Louis and their spending. That the last time this happened was under Vince Schemel. And when they did it under Vince Schemel, when the state agreed to come in and audit the spending in the city of St. Louis, millions of dollars were found that would not have been found but for this audit. And right now, Francis Slay is facing the same type of audit. Primarily, the energy for it was the $10 million that we get every year to spend on lead. And Francis Slay's office refuses, despite Sunshine requests, to tell us where the $10 million is being spent in the city of St. Louis. Could this push by Francis Slay and Shrewsbury be about this? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
that's what I was thinking, because that's unusual for someone to come up with a 200-page document for people to vote on in that less of a time that they have to read it.
Well, remember, he did the same thing with the stadium.
We know that, but he just, I think he's running scared myself, Liz.
All right, then we need to scare him some more. Then people need to be down there calling the legislators right now.
Well, I'm certainly going up there on the 15th, and I hope everyone does try that can go up there to try to get on this bill about the new bill they're trying to pass up there concerning the school board as well.
And pick up the phone today, Mary, and call your legislator. Lyda Crewson is yours. Find out she's going to support this.
Well, I'll call her.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Yes.
Power is the people.
All right.
I'm still looking for that right to vote, Liz. What is this about this Patriot Act?
Huh?
Well, what's the Patriot Act? Is that the right to not burn the flag or the right to burn the flag?
The Patriot Act?
Yeah.
No, that was something that was pushed through right in the heels of 9/11 that took away a lot of our rights. That was a piece of legislation that the feds passed.
Well, I'm still looking for that right to vote.
Well, you have a right to vote this March, on March 6th, to vote for the president of the Board of Aldermen. You have the right to vote, and you need to get down there and vote on March the 6th.
Well, before they suspend all the voting rights that I have, I would like to have the right to vote.
You do have the right to vote. You have a right to vote this election on March 6th, president of the Board of Aldermen, and if you live in an even ward for your aldermen.
Yeah, Liz, but that is my individual right.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to exercise that?
Well, I'm trying, but, the power that I have is...
Come on. You have the absolute power to get down to your voting booth and to vote on March 6th. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you do. And ain't nobody stopping you from doing that.
Yeah, Liz, but I got the right to vote, but some of those issues I would like to vote on, and I can't.
But that's no excuse. That is no excuse to not to vote on the ones that you can. That's no excuse. In fact, that's a worst kind of statement. Just because you cannot do everything that you need to do doesn't mean that you do nothing. You don't raise your children like that. You don't live your life like that.
Yeah,
you know, if that's the case, then don't get out. There's no reason to get out of bed because you can't do everything that you want to in the way that you want to.
That's why I haven't really been voting, Liz.
But that's a poor excuse for an adult. I understand that for a child to have that kind of worldview. But your issues, your vision should be greater than the things that are being denied to you. You don't sit down because folks are saying no to you on some stuff. You don't stop fighting because folks are saying no to you on some stuff. You keep fighting. You keep punching. You keep hitting. You keep doing what needs to be done. You don't sit down and say, well, shoot, I can't do anything. They haven't given me everything that I want, so I'm not going to do anything. No, 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 no. That's no excuse. And you're a grown man, and you know better. And you're bigger, and you're smarter than that.
All right, Liz, I'll see what I can do.
All right, now, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz. I'll say this very quickly. You were talking about the price of gasoline going up. I have a personal experience, and I'm sure your other listeners have, too. Citgo gasoline stations were Venezuelan oil refined.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to three of them, and all three of them have, in the process, been closed. They're stopped buying gasoline or oil from Venezuela to refine. They're imposing sanctions, and Venezuela furnished us 30% of our oil. So there's another reason why gasoline prices are going up, because the Hugo Chavez called Bush a devil. And so the president now is using it as a personal weapon.
To hurt Americans.
Yeah, God bless America.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Liz.
My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all